Hey, it's me, that guy from that thing you're about to hear. Thanks for listening to the Todd Bromelkamp Show podcast.
We have a first-time champion in the NHL. We have a Game 6 in the NBA. Rob Raines from STL Sports Page will join us at 4:30. Brad Botkin of CBS Sports at 5:30. And two great prizes for you, a $30 gift certificate to Mulligan's Pub and a Freedom Festival prize pack. All of that and more on the way.
And more screaming.
Wow. 4:04. Welcome into the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. That's Laura Branigan's Gloria, in case you're wondering, Kyle. 319-366-1600.
How are the chest pains today?
Actually, they've come back a little bit. I had some chicken wings at lunch, so a little bit of heartburn. But mostly subsided. Since yesterday, thanks to everyone who reached out on Twitter last night. Thanks to the folks who reached out on our Hertine and Stocker text line. You can do that right now. 319-366-1600. Blues fans, I know there are a few in the area. How did you celebrate last night? Give us a call. And folks who like great sports stories, what's the next great sports story? What is next? We've seen the Cubs win a World Series. We have seen the Blues, after 52 years of not being able to get over the hump, win a Stanley Cup. What is next? As I mentioned, Rob Raines from STL Sports Page is going to join us at 4:30. What does this mean for the city of St. Louis? What is the parade going to look like on Saturday? Also, a little bit of a game six breakdown in the NBA championship. The NBA finals, I should say. Woodja coming up at 6:05, and we'll wrap things up at 6:35 with a little bit more of a reset and a little bit more NBA discussion. But Kyle, what'd you think last night?
I
want to get your opinion.
Well, I had it on, and you know, because I was texting you early on, and I tried not to because, you know, the last thing you need during a Game 7 while the Blues are trying to get their first Stanley Cup, the last thing that you need is me bugging you with just, you know, basic simpleton observations. But I'll say it like this. That first period early on, I think the Blues got one shot early, but it seemed like it was all Bruins.
It was.
And they got that. The Blues made it through that first power play, but it was just an onslaught there for just a couple minutes. But it looked to me like you could tell fairly early that the Blues goalie came to play. And so it was super intense. And for a few minutes there, I was like, this does not look good so far for the Blues. But the goalie made it through, and then I was hoping for your sake that the Blues could get an early goal, get an early lead, and they did that. And so pretty much from there, as far as I'm concerned, from where I was sitting, it was smooth sailing. You know, I got what I wanted.
It actually was, and that's what shocked me. They get up 2-0, as you mentioned, in the first period. The Bruins really controlled the play, and Jordan Binnington, the goaltender you mentioned, more on him in a second, stole the show. So many people expecting Tuukka Rask, who was outstanding coming into that game, to shut down the Blues. People thought it was going to be a low-scoring game. And like I said, Boston came out firing. St. Louis counterpunched them twice in the first period and got to their game after that. Really shut down Boston, any attempts that they had at any offense, and made life very difficult on them. And then when Jordan Binnington made the save, I believe, on Marcus Johansson with 10 minutes remaining, that's when it started setting in, because a few minutes later, Braden Schenn scored the third goal of the game and pretty much put it out of reach. But this is something, and I have to ask Cubs fans out there to bring you all in. I'll ask you, Kyle, how long did it take for things to set in, for reality to set in, that your team was going to do something that you thought maybe was impossible? You thought that at one point you may never see it in your lifetime. How long did it take to realize that they accomplished that? Because it quite honestly has not set in what has happened.
I'll give you the real answer for me was through the offseason. You know, you go through an entire offseason and you're a reigning champion. You know, you got over the hump. You're at the top of the sport. And then, you know, pretty early on, sometime next year, something's going to go wrong. It might happen this offseason where you lose somebody and, you know, you get a real chunk taken out of the team that you had. You know, you're going to get a splash of cold water here at some point soon, but with any luck, you're going to get an offseason pretty much at minimum. So just soak it in while you can. Because it's only down from here.
Mark on the text line. Blues fan since 1986. Now I know how a Cubs fan feels. Sold out Enterprise Center for a watch party in 10 minutes and had plenty of people at Bush. Happy fan. Had a good cigar and some salted caramel Crown Royal last night. We got a pretty good group together last night after the game. I didn't want to go out in public. I have discussed this, and I want to get your all's opinion on this. A big game. Do you want to watch it in public? Do you have to be around people, or do you have to be alone? Because I feel like there's not a ton in between. It's either you are the type of person that gets so nervous that you have to watch it alone, and I'll even include with a couple of people you trust, a couple of really good friends that you trust, maybe fans of the same team, or are you going to a watch party and watching with 15, 16,000 other people on a Jumbotron because you just have to be out in public?
I think I would go a watch party. I'm very much an experienced type of, part of me understands why you want to sit on your couch with your trusted sports allies and just, you know, kind of chill. But at the same time, basically, when it comes to a watch party, especially those that are inside the stadiums,
right?
It's like asking, would you rather, you know, watch Game 7 on your couch, or would you rather, like, kind of almost feel like you're there? You know,
right?
So I would very much go watch party.
Matt in Cedar Rapids, I prefer to watch all my team's games at home. 70-11, I felt comfortable when Chapman came onto the mound to close it out, then Rajay Davis happened. But
that was so bad. I'll let you go, but that was so bad.
It was, but they got it. And honestly, after the second period last night, I'm thinking to myself, they're gonna win this game.
Okay.
After the second period last night, well, actually after the first period, they got up 2-0 and they went to the break, and I said they need to tighten things up if they want to keep this lead. And Ryan O'Reilly, who scored the first goal of the game, was interviewed by Jeremy Roenick in the tunnel, and he said, "Yeah, we were a little sloppy, but we got some counter punches. We're going to tighten things up, and if we do, we're going to force turnovers and we're going to wear them down." And at that point, I'm like, okay, they're not going to play nearly as bad as I knew. They were not going to have another period as bad as they were as the first period. I thought they were terrible, especially defensively in that first period. And then in the second period, they got to it, and they just ground the Boston Bruins into a pulp. They just grated them like cheese. Boston trying to get any offense going, they couldn't do it because the Blues were back checking so hard and making life difficult. I'm not going to get into the minutia of hockey because I know that you all don't care, but that was what I was thinking after the second period. I'm like, is it going to be this easy? Are they going to be able to close this thing out? Because when a team who is trying to accomplish something they've never done is in the middle of a moment like that, you always worry that something really wacky is going to happen, like Rajay Davis hitting a grand slam. And I was just sort of waiting for that moment to happen, and it never did, thankfully.
I was thinking about this during the game last night, especially as, you know, you go to the third period still with that lead and, you know, pretty much unchallenged to that point. I was thinking about you because, you know, I was here all day. It made it to the air where, you know, you're just so nervous. I know you just think you had a bad burrito, but I stand by. I think you were so nervous yesterday. You had a little bit of a physical reaction. You know, and you said, you know, it's just hard to see. It's hard to imagine this going well. And so I'm curious, how soon for you in that game did that go away a little bit? When did you realize, was it the first goal? Was it the first good save? When did you realize, oh yeah, we can win this game?
It was about midway through the second period. Because like I said, first period was not good. They needed to tighten things up. They did. And then in the second period, they really tightened things up. And Boston wasn't getting the chances that they were getting in the first period. The Blues were getting more zone time. And it just at that point appeared they're up 2-0. They're still they still have their foot on the gas. And they're going to make. And the other thing is the officials swallowed their whistles. And every time that that happened during this series, it favored one team. It favored the team that was better 5-on-5 throughout the entire postseason. So the end of the second period is where the mind starts racing a little bit. And these thoughts start popping into my head, and I'm like, please. I was having an inner conversation with myself. I would have a thought, and I'd say, stupid.
Can't
stupid.
Do it
yet. Don't think about that.
Yep.
It was like, wait, who am I going to call first when this happens?
Who did you call first?
Where am I going to go after this happens? My brother. What am I going to do this weekend? Am I going to go to the parade? I'm supposed to go to the College World Series this weekend. Am I going to have to cancel that? Those thoughts start popping into my head, and I'm at the same time having this conversation. Like, stop. Stop. I felt like a thought that I had was going to jinx them. I felt like taking off any article of clothing, whether it was changing shirts or whatever, was going to jinx them. Anything that moving a pillow was going to jinx them. It is so strange, as I have said, how crazy sports makes you.
Well, and that just this is partly kind of my question. I kind of have a second direction I want to take this. Because you mentioned how crazy sports can make you, and it's partly because I think that sports themselves are crazy. Because think back, like, you've already been asked this, but think back to January. Would you have ever thought that this was possible at all?
No. And let's get to that now. This is a franchise that has had four of the winningest coaches in the history of the NHL coaching them at one point. Al Arbor was their coach. Scotty Bowman was their coach. Joel Quenneville, Ken Hitchcock. This is a franchise that has had some of the greatest players in the history of the NHL playing for them. Brett Hall, by the way, is probably still drunk. Wayne Gretzky, Chris Pronger, Al MacInnis, Grant Fuhr. And they've never been able to win. And this season, on November the 24th, as I said during my sports view, I went to a game in St. Louis where they played the Winnipeg Jets, and Winnipeg ran them out of the building. I think it was like 8-2. And Patrick Laine scored 5 goals. And I remember sitting next to my brother and my dad and saying, this team is atrocious. Like, this team is number one overall draft pick, likely, if the ping pong balls bounce their way. It looked like a varsity team against a JV team. That's the best way I can describe what I saw that night. Winnipeg was better in every facet of the game. They were just better. And then Mike Yeo gets fired and Craig Berube comes in. And they bring in, they bring up this goaltender who was the backup in the minor leagues. He was a backup in the AHL.
In the minors.
He was the backup in the minors.
Okay.
Now imagine for a second the Cubs having a huge injury to Wilson Contreras, and all of a sudden the backup catcher for the Iowa Cubs comes up and is hitting 345 with 30 home runs and is the World Series MVP for the 2016 team. That's sort of what happened here.
I'm glad you take it in that direction, because that's kind of, is this even, you know, I'm gonna ask a question here, and there's not even, it's hardly even a question. Is anything like this possible in any other sport? Because here, let's play this game. Can you envision a world in which we've got the Raptors and Warriors competing for an NBA championship tonight?
Yeah.
Can you imagine if instead of those teams, it was the Knicks, Suns, Cavs, Bulls, or Hawks? Those are your last place teams in January.
No.
How about baseball? The Orioles, Royals, Jays, Marlins, Tigers. Do any of those teams have a chance to make a run like that? How about in football? It's only 16 games. You can do some crazy things. The Cardinals, Raiders, Jets, the Niners are actually an interesting team in here. And the Jaguars, there's not a chance that anything like that can happen in any other sport. And then you bring up the point of, it's, you know, it's not even a last place team we're talking about. It's a backup minor league goalie who came up and just won a Stanley Cup. This is just bizarre. And a year after Vegas did what it did, I think this is a huge, a really interesting two-year run for hockey.
It is, and the ratings last night were an all-time high in the last 25 years. I don't know what else I can say about this team. It's one of the most improbable sports stories I've ever seen. There are others out there. I thought the story with the Cubs is going to be more widely known because it's a national team and it's in baseball, but that was a talented team. You saw that one coming. That was a team that was favored to win the World Series that year, prior to the year. And we're talking about a team that was dead last 4 months into the season. 4 months into the season, they were in dead last in the NHL.
It's impossible.
It was coming into this year. I had so much hope. That was the thing. They made some really good acquisitions. They brought in Tyler Bozak. They traded for Ryan O'Reilly, who won the Conn Smythe, the MVP of the playoffs. They brought in Patrick Maroon. And I thought to myself, this is gonna be a good team. They shed some deadweight contracts, and things were so bad through the first 4 months of the season that I had written them off. I was still watching, but I was like, this team, as I said, this team is embarrassing. It looked like one of the worst teams that they'd had in 10 or 15 years. And all of a sudden, a head coach who was a mediocre head coach for 2 years, had mediocre results in Philadelphia for 2 years, as an interim coach on an interim basis, brings up this goalie who nobody knows. Here's my favorite story. Jeff Johnson of the Cedar Rapids Gazette told me this last night. He went to an AHL game. The Iowa Wild were playing San Antonio in Des Moines in October. And Jeff has some hockey cards that he likes to get signed. And he got two hockey cards signed by the backup goalie of the San Antonio Rampage at the time.
Who gives a crap?
Right. Who's this? Oh, it's Jordan Bennington. Like, at the time, you're looking at these cards, like, what do I do with these?
Why would you waste the ink?
What? Did I just devalue the face of this card? And all of a sudden you're wondering if it's going to put your kids through college at this point. I'm not ready to go that far, but a statue will be built of Craig Berube and maybe of Jordan Binnington. And whatever they do from here on out is irrelevant to me. It really is. Now, here's my next question. I know you mentioned the offseason and how imperfect it's going to be and how sometimes you win and you think that you're going to be happy for a while and then you want more. How long is this honeymoon period going to last?
I got through the whole following season from the Cubs.
Okay, a whole year.
It lasted me a whole year where I said, okay, well, maybe not this year, but at least we got it. You know, we figured it out last year. And, you know, I cannot speak to the Blues roster construction as much as I can with the Cubs, but, you know, it might not happen this year, but at least it happened last year, and you know that you've got something to work with on that team. So who's to say it might not happen again next year? Getting the one buys you a lot of patience inside your head.
I think I can give them two full years. Two full years where the results, I'm not sure. Hockey's so difficult. Like winning a Stanley Cup after playing 108 hockey games in a year. That's ridiculous. 108 hockey games. Think about that for a second. How hard one hockey game would be on your body. Playing 108 of them, which is what the Blues just played. Now they have to have an off season of, let's see, June, July, August, September. They're in training camp in 3 months. And then they have to go through another preseason, another 82-game season, and try to do it again.
It makes my ankles hurt just to think about it.
Yeah. Like, I feel like I need to go on the injured list right now just thinking about...
My shins are sore.
So, I think it's a little different in baseball, where, yeah, there are going to be some... There's a World Series hangover, so to speak. I think that's mental. I think that the mental fatigue along with the physical fatigue in hockey is so different because... I think the physical fatigue clearly outweighs any mental fatigue that you have. And I would very much go out on not be going out on a limb saying that I don't think that they're going to be back in that position next year. I think they'll be okay. I think they'll be good. But there's no way I can expect them to be back in that position next year.
And that's a good place to be. Take what you got, take what you'll get, but you can't really go in with any crazy expectations.
Not at all. 425, we still have a $30 gift certificate to Mulligan's Pub and a Freedom Festival prize pack. Before we take a break, we'll get some texts. Cajun Troy, I gave the Saints 5 years after winning the Super Bowl. And Troy, you know what? I think I might be able to give the Blues 5 years. Now, I don't think... If they go to being one of the worst teams in the league again in two or three... Maybe we're talking, singing a different tune. I don't think they will. I think that they're pretty set up for at least a moderate amount of success. I think it's to the playoffs and like Washington this year. You think Capitals fans are mad that they lost in the first round this year? I'm sure some are. But, I mean, come on. Can you really be after finally winning a Stanley Cup?
Right.
309-366-1600. Did it? 0123 lost 15 pounds that month in 2016 when the Cubs were in the Cubs won the World Series.
That
lost a lot of sleep and not eating took its toll.
That is a physical reaction.
It is. And I thought about this last night and I didn't realize till about 10:30 last night. I was like, I didn't eat dinner at all. I just completely skipped a meal.
No, I mean, there's other stuff going on.
Yeah, I just completely skipped dinner.
Your body lives on the nutrition of your brain stimulation.
Is that true?
No. No.
Is that medically certified?
I don't know. It's very pseudoscience-y, we'll call it.
Okay.
Don't ask anybody else about it.
Kyle's Pseudoscience Hour. 319-366-1600. We'll take a break. Kyle will get you your first Alexander Lumber Big Board update of the day. And then Rob Raines from STL Sports Page will join us to wrap up our number one. More on the way after this.
There's one.
I see it.
Another.
See it. Didn't see that one.
Potholes are just waiting to damage your ride. If you hit one, it can mess up your alignment, shocks, struts, and suspension. So if your vehicle has a disagreement with a pothole, have Linder Tire take a look at it. They can make sure it's all right or fix any problems that annoying pothole caused. Linder Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell. See them at LinderTire.com.
Nobody beats our selection at Menards, so you can get everything you need for your outdoor projects. Instant Post Cement Mix can set fence posts, mailboxes, and more in just 10 minutes with no mixing required. Pick up a 50-pound bag of Instant Post Cement for just $5.98. Stop in and save through June 15th during Menards Father's Day Sale. Plus, a Menards gift card is perfect for Father's Day.
Save big money at Menards.
Good losers gamble to have fun. They know losing is part of the game. In fact, good losers plan on it. And they never lose more than they can afford. Good losers know when to stop. If you're a good loser, you sleep no problem. But if you can't sleep, if your losses hurt too much, we can help. Call 1-800-BETS-OFF or visit 1-800-BETS-OFF.org and find out once and for all, are you a good loser? Brought to you by the Iowa Department of Public Health.
Before the start of the game, or once the game is over, the soundtrack for your celebration is Smart Rock on Smart FM. KGYM and Smart FM are the perfect combination for a great summer of top-of-the-line sports coverage. And Smart Rock is the perfect complement for all the action on and off the field. Sports on KGYM and Smart Rock on Smart FM. 95.1 Cedar Rapids, 98.5 Iowa City.
This is the NBA Finals. The Warriors survive elimination and force Game 6 in Oakland.
Coverage begins tonight at 7 o'clock here on the Gym, KGYM.
Welcome back, 4:30, a Thursday program. It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Todd Brommelkamp is out. Kyle Mann is in. We're taking you up until 7 o'clock. Are we going to send folks off to, are the Mariners and Twins playing once again?
Nope. They played this afternoon. Twins really kind of put it on them for a little while, but Seattle turned it into a 10-5 loss instead of a 10-1 loss.
So we're going to have game number 6 on all three. All three frequencies. And that is the subject of our Emil's Hideaway poll question, which is available at kgymradio.com. Will there be a game number 7? Simple. Yes or no. You can vote at kgymradio.com. Let's get to a few texts here. As an Eagles fan, according to 1593, it's just different winning when you weren't supposed to. The Eagles lost Wentz and had to suit up Foles for a miracle Super Bowl run. Blues were in last place in the league back in January and went on to win the Cup. I think we are entitled to cherish these types of championships for multiple years before expecting more. There, you know what, 1593, thank you for that comparison, because that's a pretty good one.
That's true.
That's a pretty good one.
The ones you have no business in winning.
Nick Foles is sort of that Jordan Bennington-like character, right? He was so bad in St. Louis under the oppressive regime of Jeff Fisher.
Basically the minor leagues.
I mean, this guy, I remember watching Nick Foles in St. Louis, and I was like, how is this guy an NFL quarterback? It didn't look like he had the arm to be an NFL quarterback. I know that the players around him were really bad, but he just looked terrible. And what, for whatever reason, that Philadelphia team just was the perfect mix of players, and he played so well down the stretch. I'm going to be interested to see what the Eagles look like without Nick Foles. I know Carson Wentz is a talented quarterback, but for whatever reason, I'm definitely not above pointing out how well he played on that team. Can he play well on another team? We will find out. And then Ed on the text line, Boston has not won on home ice since the days of Bobby Orr. I was at Buffalo Wild Wings last night, and there was a Boston fan sitting there. And honestly, the Boston fan was not all that upset. Very nice guy. And I'm like, yeah, three championship parades in 1 year, that would have been a little excessive, right?
Yeah, probably a little bit.
319-366-1600. Rob Raines from STL Sports Page will join us in just a second. But first, we're going to have a big board update, which is brought to you by Alexander Lumber. Are you planning on a home remodel? Then check out Alexander Lumber and their all new window line. Go ahead, Kyle, with the Alexander Lumber big board update.
It wasn't all that long ago that the Dallas Wings drafted Iowa living legend Megan Gustafson in the second round of the WNBA draft, and then cut her before the season even started. Well, you'll never guess who came crawling back to re-sign the reigning National Player of the Year after starting the season 0-4. Gustafson, who was top three in the nation in scoring, field goal percentage, and rebounding, could be active as soon as Sunday for a team that is last in scoring, second to last in field goal percentage, and fifth worst in rebounding. The Iowa football team added a player to its class of 2020 yesterday evening, securing a commitment from the three-star offensive lineman Mason Richmond out of Kansas. He's 6'6" and 252 pounds entering his senior season and also held offers from Air Force, Akron, and Kansas. 11 members in, the class is ranked by 24/7 as the 22nd in the country and 5th best in the Big Ten. The Colonels are 4 games out of a wild card spot with only 5 games remaining in the first half, so it's going to be difficult, but not impossible, and they've been doing about as much as they can down the stretch here. Having won 7 of their last 8, they're 9-3 in the month of June and going for a sweep of Wisconsin here in Cedar Rapids starting at 6:30 tonight. We had the Blues winning their first Stanley Cup in franchise history last night. We could have the Toronto Raptors doing much the same tonight in Game 6 of the NBA Finals. It's not going to be easy against an inspired Golden State team in Oakland, however, so you won't want to miss it on all 3 KGYM frequencies as soon as we get off the air. Tip set for 8 o'clock.
Answers by Alexander will help you choose the deck that's right for your outdoor space and your budget with 2 locations. In Iowa City. Are you nervous if you are a Toronto Raptors fan right now? 319-366-1600. The champions, they're hobbled. They are hurt. Are their spirits down after Kevin Durant went out? No. I think they're motivated. But can they stave off elimination, or will Kawhi Leonard send the NBA into the offseason with his second championship in his career? We will find out tonight. We will have that on all 3 KGYM frequencies, and I'm rooting for Toronto. I want to see another underdog fan base, a Canadian fan base, get their moment in the spotlight, and I still have faith in the Toronto Raptors. They dominated Golden State throughout the year, even with Kevin Durant. And I just the way that this series has gone, I thought that Golden State needed every ounce of energy to win that Game 5. What are they going to have now in Game 6? Even though they're on their home floor, we will find out. But Rob Raines joins us, a friend of the show, STL Sports Page, longtime Cardinal beat writer. And Rob, usually we have you on to talk about the Cardinals, but what is the city like right now? What is the buzz after the Blues did something they have never done before? They won the Stanley
Everybody's
Cup.
Everybody's tired.
I'm tired.
What a marvelous story. You know, I mean, it's just totally unbelievable to realize that they were, you know, in last place on January 3rd, you know, and come from where they were and you know, down 3-2 against Dallas in the second round of the playoffs to win, you know, 6-7. Seventh, you know, game in double overtime, and then just, you know, to go again to beat San Jose. I said this before, and I mean, as much as I love baseball and as much as I'm a baseball guy, you know, playoff hockey is just unbelievable when you have a team playing in the you know, competition, and it just wears you out. And there's no harder trophy to win in sports. I don't care how great a sports fan you are in any other sport, but I mean, you got 4 rounds that you have to go through, all of them, you know, 4 out of 7 games. You know, you're playing 2 extra months beyond the regular season. You know, it's really over a third of the, you know, the postseason is like a third longer than the whole regular season. So, I mean, it's just crazy.
You mentioned how improbable of a story this is, and there are so many layers to it, from interim head coach Craig Berube to backup minor league goaltender Jordan Binnington. The storylines don't stop there. They were last place in January. Where does this story rank in stories you've covered in your time covering sports?
You know, it has to be probably number one when you take everything into effect, and the fact that it's the first championship, don't forget that, you know, 52-year history of the team, the first title. You know, I mean, even when the Cardinals made the improbable runs that they made, you know, in 64 coming from, you know, so far back, and even though I wasn't, you know, as a kid then, but it wasn't covering the team, I mean, there was, you know, they'd won championships before, you know, getting in as a wild card to winning a championship, you know, that's just, those are cool stories, but they're not anything like this. And you know, yeah, you talk about Binnington, you know, the fourth string goalie, the backup goalie in the minor leagues before the season began. And I think of a kid named Zach Sanford who scored the final goal last night for the Blues. His dad died of a heart attack, you know, at the start of the season. Didn't have a, you know, particularly strong season. He's from New England, grew up cheering the Bruins, and then he gets a goal in Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals. I mean, come on, you know, that stuff's just crazy.
Jordan Binnington, I know some people have compared him to Kurt Warner, where he just came out of nowhere. But is he just one of those the most unlikely heroes and legends that will live on forever in St. Louis?
We'll find out, you know, because I mean, what's the future hold? You know, I mean, is he going to be a guy that's going to keep playing, you know, this caliber of goalie for the next, you know, 7-8 years for the Blues, or is he going to be somebody that this was just for whatever reason, you know? Everything fell in place. You know, I mean, I don't think we can know the answer to that question because we just don't know what the future holds. But what a run it was for this year. I mean, I thought he was going to get the shutout last night. I mean, it was, you know, 2 minutes, just over 2 minutes to go when he finally allowed the goal after the Boston had pulled the, you know, goalie for an extra attacker. But man, he won that game in the first period. I think when the Blues scored twice there, they got that second goal right at the end of the first period, and Boston outshot the Blues, whatever the margin was, it was ridiculous in that first period. And the Blues are winning 2-0. I think that was when everybody basically knew that unless something, you know, catastrophic happened, that the Blues were going to win.
The fortunes of the city sports teams have sort of turned over the past couple of years. The fans have been waiting for the Blues to get over the hump. The Cardinals have fallen back a little bit. The Rams left town. What does this mean for the city and the sports fans in this city?
I think it means a lot. I mean, you know, we almost lost the Blues, you know, 20 years ago too.
Right.
They were, you know, on the brink of moving to Saskatoon. So, I mean, they're rescued and saved here. I mean, I think it shows, I think that the, you know, people all outside of St. Louis, whoever consider, oh, it's a baseball town. No, it's a sports town. You know, it's a great sports town. If you, you know, play well and you try hard and you have success, people are going to find you, and they're going to cheer for you. And I think, you know, the baseball team has had a lot of success in recent years, so that's where their fan base comes from. And they get a lot of, probably more fans from the Midwest area, like Iowa, like Illinois, you know, than the Blues do, because hockey's a sport that's not, you know, as familiar with some of those outlying areas, so people don't pay as much attention to it. So, you know, baseball's going to always have that edge. But as far as the diehard, rabid, you know, live and die with your team fans, the Blues fans are not, don't have to take second place to anybody. You know, they've been through thick and thin with this team for a long time. There have been years, you know, and it's always been such a disappointment, because there have been years when the Blues had great players, and, you know, a couple times they led the NHL in points during the regular season and then got beat in the first round of the playoffs. So, you know, it's just a fluky nature of sports. I mean, I think it's one of the reasons why we love sports, why we all kind of fall in love with it as kids and grow up, and some of us are lucky enough to be involved in covering sports for a living, and it's not real work. It's just fun.
Does it kind of outline the fluky nature of hockey too? You mentioned some of the great players that have played for the Blues: Brett Hall, Wayne Gretzky, some of the great coaches: Joel Quenneville, Al Arbor, Scotty Bowman, and an interim head coach and a backup goalie from the AHL are the ones that got it done.
That puck can move in mysterious ways. You know, you're playing on ice, okay? Let's start there. You're playing on skates on ice with a little round black puck. There's a lot of crazy things that can happen.
What did you make of the impact that Ryan O'Reilly made on this team?
Yeah, Terrific. I mean, I think it took him a while to. I think the only problem the Blues had probably at the year began, and you know, Mike Yeo talked about it right at the beginning of the year, was that how talented this team was, how much forward he was looking forward to the season. I just think they misjudged how long it was going to take them to all gel. They made so many changes. You know, they brought in O'Reilly, they brought in Bozak, they brought, you know, they were trying to figure out where to put guys on different spots. They were trying to bring in some of the younger players too. I mean, so I think they just made so many, you know, had so many things different than they've been in the past that it just took longer. They expected that instant success right away, and when it didn't happen, then they got frustrated and kind of, well, maybe these guys aren't as good as we thought they were, you know, kind of thing. And you know, I think it just, once they kind of settled down and the parts kind of started to equal the whole, then I think they started to gel. That 11 game winning streak that they went on in whenever it was, the end of January to February, I think that was when everybody around the team realized that, hey, we probably are as good as we thought we were.
Did people really sit outside, and there are 25,000 people really sit outside in the rain,
yeah,
to watch that
pouring,
game?
Pouring down rain. 20,000 people at Enterprise Center and 25,000 people at Busch Stadium watching the game on a jumbotron. And they paid, you know, $20 to get there. All the money went to charity. But so, and yeah, it was pouring down rain, not the whole game, but a good portion of the game. And they didn't leave. I mean, it was just, and you talk about a mob scene and a crowd that you're not going to believe. Wait till Saturday in the parade and the rally outside the Gateway Arch. It's going to be unbelievable.
I was literally going to ask you that. I'm going to be down there. What should I expect? Do you have any idea what to expect?
It's going to be by far greater than the Rams Super Bowl parade. It's going to be by far greater than the Cardinals World Series parade. It's going to be the biggest parade the city's ever seen. There'll be a million people downtown.
Now,
it's going to be, and luckily they're doing it on a Saturday, so at least the people who have to work downtown and don't really care to be involved won't have to be there. And it'll free up all the parking spaces in the garage and stuff that normally have to go to people who are working down there. So that was a smart decision to have it on Saturday.
Rob Raines, STL Sports Page, for joining us for just a few more minutes. Now, I know you cover the Cardinals. Does this give them a little bit of a free pass for the next couple of months based on the way they're sitting?
It gave them a free pass for the last 2 months.
Well, that's true.
Nobody was paying any attention to what was going on. But I did a column actually today. I said, you know, if you've been paying attention to the Blues the last 2 months, there's 10 things you need to know about why the Cardinals are a 500 team. And kind of covered all that stuff. Yeah, so I think it actually puts a little fire in them. Okay, the Blues won now. It's Cardinals, it's your turn. Let's go. I think it may prove a little spark, because they, you know, the Cardinal guys, Molina, Wainwright, some of those guys were very involved with cheering for the team and being at the games as often as they could and stuff. So I think it may put a little spark in them, I think.
Yeah.
More than a free pass.
I was trying to tell some Cardinals fans that about this Blues season, where 3 months into the year, all the goodwill of the offseason, like you mentioned, all the moves that they made that gave a lot of fans hope, it was sort of all wiped out by the start, and all of a sudden they went on this surge and made this run, and it ends with a Stanley Cup. So I think for a lot of St. Louis fans, this year is sort of a lesson in patience.
Yeah, and I think, too, I mean, you got almost 100 games to go. What are you, 96 games to go or whatever? And see, then you're like 5 games out. It's not like you're, you know, 20 games out here or something. You know, I mean, you got a lot of games head-to-head against the teams that you're going to have to beat. You're going to have to play better. You're not going to be a 500 team and get in the playoffs. They know that. They're going to have to play better. And you know, they've got a lot of guys that have underachieved at this point. And you know, if Goldsmith doesn't play better and Carpenter doesn't play better, I don't care what other moves that they make. You know, they're not going to win. But you really have to think at some point these guys are going to be better than they've been to this point. I mean, Carpenter isn't really going to hit 208 out of the leadoff spot all year, is he? I mean, you know, Goldsmith's not going to have 6 doubles all year. I mean, you know, there's just things that have to happen. I mean, they've got to be able to figure out a way to get Hicks more than, you know, 22 innings in the 66 games. You know, so, I mean, they're inconsistent. Their pitching, starting pitching on the road has been terrible. So, you know, they've got a lot of things that they can fix. I think they still believe in the talent on this club to do it. But I'm not sure what it's going to take to get the ball rolling in the right direction.
What do you make of where the NL Central sits at this point? Milwaukee, a half game over the Cubs. Those two teams look very good at times and inconsistent at other times. The Cardinals have been very much a roller coaster so far. Cincinnati and Pittsburgh bringing up the rear, but they're tough outs on any given night. This is a really, really tough division.
Yeah, and it's really even too. Yeah, I don't think there's one team that's head and shoulders above everybody else. I think that's part of the thing the Cardinals have to consider themselves lucky about, is that the Cubs or Brewers didn't run off and hide. You know, here they could have been, you know, 10 or 15 games ahead if they'd had a good April and a good May back to back. You know, and they didn't. They're both just, you know, three or four games over 500 or whatever, you know, for the month. So that's why the Cardinals have an opportunity here to get back in this thing and be competitive for the rest of the season, because neither one of those other clubs have done anything really, really special either. I mean, it'll be interesting to see what effect Kimbrough has on the Cubs when he kind of gets back up and starts pitching again, because they've had their issues in the bullpen, and we'll see if he's, you know, the long way out's going to have any effect on him or not. Be curious to see that. Milwaukee's a club that you always worry about in terms of when they get closer to the trading deadline, because they always seem to be able to pull off a move and bring somebody in there to help them. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what kind of, you know, what kind of moves the Cardinals do or don't make, if, you know, depending on what the next, you know, 6 weeks or so happens here in the course of the season.
Rob Raines, Vestiel Sports Page, joining us to talk some Blues and Cardinals. Thank you so much for joining us, Rob.
Anytime, guys. Thanks. Appreciate it.
319-366-1600. I said last night that if the Blues lost, everybody was going to take their frustrations out on the Cardinals.
You did.
Now that they won, they've already basically gotten, let's see, April, May, June, 3 months of free pass.
Yeah.
Rob, nobody's been watching them and or caring about them. And now maybe at least like another month of it where people are going to be so happy and soaking in the fact that the Blues won the Stanley Cup that they're not going to be upset about the fact that the Cardinals have looked very, very mediocre to this point.
I thought that was an interesting kind of different angle on it that Rob took, though, where this isn't going to buy you, you know, this isn't going to buy you time moving forward. This bought you time you've already been terrible. Kind of thinking about it, what he just told us, you know, you said last night, if the Blues lost, then, you know, everybody's going to take their anger out on Cardinals. But Rob says that now that the Blues have won, everybody's going to take that pressure and also apply it to the Cardinals. So just a lose-lose situation for the Cardinals, depending how you want to look at it.
That is true. 319-366-1600. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll wrap up hour number one and get ready for hour number two. Brad Botkin of CBS Sports is going to join us, and we'll preview game six of the NBA Finals as well. More on the way after this.
Cedar Rapids Colonels, let the good times roll.
This Friday is UNI Panther Pride Night at the Colonels. The first 1,000 fans receive a free UNI rally towel and bid on Panther game-worn jerseys. UNI mascots TC and TK will be at the game, too. Visit Colonels.com to get your tickets now for the best party in town and party at the park with the Cedar Rapids Colonels.
Cedar Rapids Colonels, let the good times roll.
We've all heard the joke, why do they call it golf? The answer, all the other four-letter words were taken. Hi, Dave Austed here. We hear those words when golfers airmail the green or duck hook the ball into the water. It could be a swing thing, or it could be your clubs aren't fit for your size, swing, and ability. Custom fitting isn't just for the pros. In fact, custom fitting golf clubs will actually benefit the amateur golfer more. So take some advice from Austed's, a Golf Digest Top 100 fitter, and book an appointment to get fit today. Play better, have fun, and shop Austed's.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
The weather's heating up, which means it's the perfect time to get that next job done. At AutoZone, we have the free services you need to do it right. Like our free AutoZone Loan-A-Tool program. It's simple. You choose from over 100 specialty tools, borrow the one you need, and get the job done right. The best part? It's all free. Our tools even come with operating instructions, so you'll know exactly how to use them. Getting the job done just got easier. Let us help you at more than 5,600 locations nationwide. Deposit required. See store for restrictions and details.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Lawn lovers, run with us on a John Deere Z500 Series Z-Track mower. Built to mow better, faster, with an Excel Deep mower deck. Because whether you're up against the clock or a busy day, this zero turn gets it done in almost no time at all. Nothing runs like a Deere. Run with us. Test drive a Z500 Series Z-Track mower at your John Deere dealer during the Take Your Turn sales event.
Los Angeles Dodgers and the Chicago Cubs, live from Dodger Stadium this weekend.
Saturday night starting at 7 o'clock here on the Gym. 1600 AM, 106.3 FM, KGYM.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
If your paint job is looking less than new, bring back that showroom shine with Formula One Wash and Wax, Paste Wax, or Scratch Out on sale now for $2.99 each at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Keep your vehicle looking new with Formula One Auto Care products, $2.99 each at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Would you coming up in the third and final hour of the show. Thank you to Rob Raines, Vestiel Sports Page, for joining us at 4:35. If you missed any of the interview, our podcast will be available at kgymradio.com following the conclusion of the show. You can visit kgymradio.com to check out the Emil's Hideaway poll question, and it is very simple. Will we have a Game 7 in the NBA like we had in the NHL last night? Yes or no, basically asking whether or not the Golden State Warriors will be able to stave off elimination, despite the fact that they are very injured against a very good Raptors team with Kawhi Leonard, or will this series be heading back to Toronto for a Game 7? We're going to chat with Brad Botkin of CBS Sports in the 5 o'clock hour, and we'll preview the game ourselves. I'll get Kyle's thoughts on what he expects to see last night. Kyle, did you see the story, the feature story about the AAF today?
I did not.
So somebody did basically a feature about Charlie Ebersol.
It's probably a good look for the league.
Yeah, a great look.
Okay.
So their revenue, I'm no business expert, but their revenue was $12 million for the year, expected to be $12 million for the year. That's the number that they came up with. Their cost to run the league was over $100 million.
Say the revenue one more time?
$12 million.
That was the expected revenue?
Yeah.
Okay.
And the operations cost over $100 million.
Where did things go wrong?
I mean, I don't know.
It's hard to say.
Right from the beginning, I don't understand how that could possibly... What's the worst that can happen when you're already expecting over an $88 million loss, an $88 million deficit?
It's funny because I feel like I need to own up a little bit. When everything first started coming out and we found out we're going to have, you know, not one, but two competing football leagues, you know, to compete with the NFL. We're going to have the AAF and the XFL is going to come on back. When it became clear that both the AAF and the XFL were going to give this a go, I thought for sure the AAF is going to figure it out. They've got the better coaching names. It sounded at the time like they were running themselves a little bit more legitimately. Whereas, I guess McMahon was just, the assumption was that he's going to be the same old carnival barker that he always was. And, you know, I feel like I need to own up. I totally gave this this competition, I gave it to the AAF, and they already folded because I think that one would have to think that they rushed it from a business standpoint. If your expected revenue is $12 million and your operational costs are $100 million, I guess I'm not a big-time businessman, but there's a lot of stuff you haven't taken care of.
Yes, most of the things. And it's funny you bring up the name recognition, because that's apparently Charlie Ebersol's move. 36 years old, has a very famous last name. His dad was a big part of the XFL, and he was going to make sure that they were, the AAF was going to be better than the XFL. And yeah, let's just say it didn't work out very well. But the name recognition comes in because apparently Charlie Ebersole is the guy that always shows you the flashes his phone when somebody famous is calling.
Oh.
Hey, look, Bill Polian, line one. See? See?
Cool.
Charles Barkley's calling me. Yeah. Yeah. I know Charles Barkley. Good personal friend. We're going to step aside. We'll come back. We'll let you know what to expect in hour number two.
It's Golic and Wingo.
This is the Kawhi Leonard that people liked.
Yes.
The one where you can just put whatever you want onto Kawhi because he's essentially a blank slate of sportsmanship. And that's the one that got fractured when we went through all that
stuff. We did.
Because lest we not forget,
it was a head scratcher
towards the end of San Antonio.
Yeah.
All people started going all sorts of sideways on their opinions of Kawhi because, again, he's a blank slate that you can do what you want with.
Last year, because we didn't know anything about him, we thought this and the way it ended in San Antonio. And this year, because we don't know anything about him and we see into him this in Toronto, now we feel this way about him. It's amazing over a 12-month span how on two different teams in two completely different situations, the likometer on Kawhi is going in completely different directions. We know nothing about him except that when he feels like he is right and when he feels like the situation is perfect, he might be as good as anybody else.
Golic and Wingo on ESPN Radio and ESPN2.
When it comes to the playoffs, coverage is everything. The same applies to the wireless game. With Straight Talk Wireless, you get full nationwide coverage on America's largest and most dependable 4G LTE networks, but for up to 50% less than those big carriers charge for the exact same high-speed networks. It's like getting full-court coverage at half-court prices. Switch to Straight Talk Wireless and get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data for just $45 a month, only at Walmart. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Kyle Mann is going to give you another big board update in hour number two, and it's brought to you by Alexander Lumber with a brand new facility opening up very shortly. Find Alexander Lumber in their temporary location at 2802 Independence Drive in Iowa City. Brad Botkin of CBS Sports will join us at about 5:25 to preview Game 6 of the NBA Finals, as well as get into a little bit of the off-season talk, a little bit of chatter going around on potential landing spots for Kyrie Irving next season. Woodja will come up in hour number three, and we'll send you on your way to plenty of great programming tonight, including Game 6 of the NBA Finals on all three frequencies. We're going to take a break. More on the way after this.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Doug Brown. Game 6 of the NBA Finals tonight in Oakland. It'll be the Warriors' last game at Oracle Arena before they move back to San Francisco. The Raptors lead the series 3-2. Caesars has the Warriors as 2.5-point favorites tonight, even though the road team has won the last four games. Raptors coach Nick Nurse.
For some reason, I think both teams are really good road teams and have been all season. That's one thing. Two really tough-minded teams playing.
Our Game 6 coverage starts at 8 Eastern on ESPN Radio, ABC, and the ESPN app. Hornets point guard Kemba Walker says he'd be willing to work with the team and take less money than a Supermax deal. He says he hopes to stay in Charlotte, but will talk with other teams. The 119th U.S. Open underway at Pebble Beach. Three-way tie for the lead right now. Ricky Fowler, Xander Schauffele, Louis Oosthuizen all at 5-under par. Tiger Woods even through three holes. And for the first time in 6 weeks, Maximum Security will race Sunday at Monmouth Park after his disqualification in Louisville.
Coming up Friday, the latest from the NBA Finals Game 6 and a look ahead at all the drama already in free agency.
Plus Tiger at Pebble.
And moves are happening in the NFL. That and more Friday on Golic and Wingo. 6 Eastern, ESPN Radio, ESPN2.
That SportsCenter update was brought to you by CarePro Health Services. Connect with the people and answers you need for your healthcare needs. Visit careprohealthservices.com.
Did you work out a little too hard? Or maybe overdo it with yard work? Whatever it was, you're feeling it today.
Ooh.
So let CarePro Home Medical help. Care Pro Home Medical has something to soothe that soreness, including Biofreeze, ice packs, cold therapy wraps, and pain relief devices to get you back to feeling better. Even weekend warriors need a little help sometimes. Visit Care Pro Home Medical in Cedar Rapids or Coralville and connect with people and answers you need.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
503. So, Kyle, I was sort of faced with a dilemma last night. I was very excited for the fact that I was going to be making my first trip to the College World Series this weekend. I was going to be driving over to Omaha to catch some games, to hang out, enjoy the city.
What day?
Saturday.
Okay.
Saturday. This is a trip that I had been planning for a couple of weeks.
Sometimes things come up.
So something has come up, the parade. I was so excited to go to the College World Series, but I can't go to the College World Series, can I?
No, you can't. And you asked this. This reminds me of when you asked me last Friday. You were looking ahead to the fact that the Blues could potentially win a Stanley Cup on the Sunday.
Right.
But you have to come back. You have to be at work and doing a show on the Monday. So you asked me, you know, I have to stay Sunday night, right? Like, I have to be there for that. And of course you do. Yeah. It's a championship. It only comes, you know, you don't know how often it comes around.
Never, actually.
You have
one
to go
time.
To the parade.
Okay. I have to go to the parade. I will be going to the parade on Saturday, canceling all my reservations in Omaha.
Yeah.
I they're refundable, so I didn't buy tickets or anything, and I will look forward to going to the... I've heard the College World Series is awesome. Have you ever been?
No, I've never. I haven't. And
I heard it's a lot of fun.
I've heard the same, and I can believe it. You know, it's not... Clearly not, you know, probably going to be anybody that I am all that familiar with on the field.
No.
But
nobody.
I feel like it's more about the weather, the environment, you know, just having a nice beverage for a nice afternoon or two.
I can do that next year. Or the year after, or the year after that. I just have never done it, and this was a year I was excited to do it, but that is not going to be happening. Sometimes you have to just completely change your plans at the last second. KGYMradio.com, the Emil's Hideaway poll question. Will there be an NBA Finals game number 7? Yes or no? Kyle, man, what are you expecting tonight in game number 6?
I have gone back and forth so much. I did this once earlier. I thought I got caught up in kind of emotion and storylines and what would be a cool, interesting story.
Yeah, it never works that way, does it?
No, it doesn't. And so I keep getting pulled in the direction of, oh gosh, those Warriors, they've been hated on for so long, and everybody says they don't deserve it, and now they're in a position where they do deserve it because they're down a big player and they don't have a great bench, and you know, yada yada yada, but I don't think that they can hold Toronto off for two more games. I think, and Kawhi appears to me to have the instinct. He knows he has to finish this tonight. I'm going Toronto.
I was also kind of in that boat that you're saying, where you're thinking, okay, Golden State now is going home for a game 6.
It's a dangerous thought.
But Toronto is undefeated in Oracle Arena this season. They have not lost in Oracle Arena. And I just... very safe to say that right now the Toronto Raptors are a better team than the Golden State Warriors as it stands right now?
I think so. If for no other reason, you know, they constructed that team under the impression that you're going to have Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant is a big, big part of that team. And, you know, I think some basketball fans out there had a lot of fun for a couple weeks talking about the Warriors are better without Kevin Durant. That's just not true, okay? I know that they won the game the other night without him, and
they're very good without him.
They deserve all the credit in the world for that. Yeah, they're a very good team without him because, you know, they still have a lot of talent. They've got a great coach. But I just don't think that they can do it. That team is not built to win a championship without Kevin Durant.
The strange thing to me about these playoffs, I felt like when the Golden State Warriors announced earlier this year that they were signing Boogie Cousins, everybody said that this was a predetermined championship. Like, we didn't even have to worry about the rest of the season. We didn't have to worry about the playoffs. We didn't have to worry about who was coming out of the East. Golden State was going to win this thing. And fast forward 7 months, and we're sitting here talking about the Golden State Warriors being down 3-2 on their home court with a chance to send it to game six. And we're not only are we saying that Toronto's the better team at this point, I understand there are injuries, I get that, but we're talking about Toronto being the better team right now than Golden State. But somehow, even though Golden State is on the brink of elimination, they're getting more respect now than they ever have when they were walking through the NBA Finals. Like, people are looking at Golden State saying, well, what a gritty team. What a tough team. Kevin Durant went out, tore his Achilles. What a warrior, no pun intended. Yet, this was a predetermined championship. They're down 3-2. Probably, I mean, the odds are that they're not going to win this series. Yet, the narrative is sort of flipping about it. The flip-flopping that goes on with the narratives around the NBA playoffs never cease to amaze me. I guess that's the moral of the story.
Well, and you made an interesting point earlier this week, and it, again, speaks to just the fluidity of the narratives in basketball. We see this in all sports, but I feel like in basketball, it's most pronounced. Because I believe it was the day right after he ruptured his Achilles, and you're out there saying, You were posing the question, is this what it took for everyone to believe that Kevin Durant is tough enough? You know, I know he had burner accounts, and that's stupid, and you should probably be above that. He appears to be thin-skinned at times, and, you know, you would think that he would be above that, too.
And people are asking, why is he not playing in Game 3 and 4? His team needs him. Yeah.
He's never done anything to really make anybody question his physical toughness or his mental toughness. Well, on-court mental toughness, that is. And so I thought it was interesting that, you know, everybody's made that narrative now, but now that he goes out on the floor and blows his Achilles and maybe changes the course of his entire career, now he's tough enough for us. And I think that's crap. And you're right. It just speaks to the fluidity of the attitudes in the NBA, around the NBA, among fans. And it's very tiresome. And Kevin Durant's a good example of, you know, why do we do it like this? Do you really want to put yourself in a position where, as a basketball fan, you need to see somebody potentially ruin their career before you're satisfied with the effort they give?
You know what the other thing that we haven't talked about throughout this is the angle of people asking why he was playing in Game 5. How did he get medically cleared to play in that game?
I'm glad you bring that up.
Because I keep hearing this, and it's frustrating the hell out of me. And I'm not here to call out any doctors or
medical
professionals. But let's have some common sense here. What round of the playoffs was it when he kind of looked down at his lower leg and looked back to see if somebody kicked him back in the leg?
The Rockets.
It was the conference finals?
Yeah.
It was in the conference, very early on in the conference finals. or midway through the conference finals. And everybody's sitting here and saying, yeah, I've seen that injury before. I've had that injury. I've had that reaction. That's an Achilles.
Do you remember who all the people saying that were?
Yeah, football players and basketball players.
People who would know. It wasn't just random Joe on Twitter. I remember we made that observation the morning after that happened.
My brother, my younger brother Deontay, who played football up until last year at Milliken, had that happen to him in training camp before his senior season. And he said, man, like it felt like somebody kicked me in the back of the leg, and I looked back, and nothing. As soon as that happened, he texted me, Achilles. That's an Achilles injury. Now, the Golden State Warriors didn't come out. They didn't really specify what the injury was. And for weeks, he's not playing. And then they come out and say it's not as bad as we thought, and then they come back out and say, well, it's a little bit worse than we thought, and then he gets hurt, ruptures his Achilles, the injury we thought it was in the first place. And they hide behind the fact, well, he was medically cleared to play. The team doctor said he was good. How are you going to argue with medical professionals? Well, let me ask you something. If this was the regular season, would he have been medically cleared to play?
Exactly.
The answer is no.
I heard the night before that game was played, when we were still in limbo, Kevin Durant might play in Game 5, but we didn't know for sure yet. It came out early on game day that he was going to at least give it a go. But the night before, it was still up in the air. We didn't know.
Right.
And I heard a report from Nick Friedell here on our ESPN airwaves. Nick Friedell was at the arena, and he says he was waiting to see what kind of work Kevin Durant would do. And he was only on the floor for about 20 minutes and then left with some trainers with two giant ice packs, one on his calf and one a little bit lower, further down, you know, what we would know is in the Achilles area. And so we've got a guy who practiced for 20 minutes and then left with trainers with ice packs all on his leg. This is 24 hours before he was going to give it a go, apparently. And then, so that right there doesn't sound like a guy who's, you know, all that close to 100%. But then the phrase that is really getting me, and I don't know if there was a PR meeting where everybody said this is what we're going to say or what, but have you heard them say that the Warriors were under the impression, they had been told that by him playing, there was no chance he was going to worsen the injury?
Yeah, I heard them say that.
By playing, there was no possibility it would further the injury.
It's a leg injury. He's playing basketball.
Yeah.
And he's running and jumping. What do you mean?
Dude had two huge ice packs on him 24 hours ago. What do you mean there's no chance that he's going to further it? And so that's where things don't add up to me. I'm not going to tell you what it means. I'm not going to tell you there's a conspiracy or something. But the idea that he was totally fine medically and, you know, nobody thought that there was any chance this was going to happen. I don't buy it. I don't buy it for a second.
0696 on the Hertin and Stocker text line said, would people question his toughness if the Warriors lost and he didn't play in Game 5? Yeah. And that's why I after that game, I came out and said, is this really what we wanted? Is this what we asked for, right? Kevin Durant, you got to show your toughness, got to be there for your team. You got to come back and tear your Achilles and ruin the next year plus of your career in a contract season. Yeah, this is what we asked for because people would have questioned his toughness. There's no doubt in my mind that was a reason that he played in that game.
There was a failure on so many different levels here. You know, somewhere along the line, you hope Kevin Durant has the self-awareness, has the, you know, it would be a tough decision because I'm not saying that, you know, in that position, I wouldn't want to be out there with my team. Of course I would. But at some point, you have to realize that you're not 100%. You're putting yourself in serious risk. If that's the injury you're dealing with and that's the risk you run if you step out there, Kevin Durant needs to be a little smarter than that. You've got Kevin Durant's doctors somewhere along the line who need to realize, you know, this isn't something we want to play with. You've got team doctors who, to a lesser degree, I hope would say that, but they work for the team. They work for the team, of course.
We'll get back to that in a second.
There are a lot of different people that this decision had to get run through, and somehow they all agreed to make the wrong one. And like I said, it, you know, I can't say that with any bass in my voice, because I know that that is a tough decision to make. With your team facing elimination, to not be out there, I know that would be incredibly tough. But, you know, now look at where you are. You're missing a whole year. You're not going to be back on a floor until you're 32 years old. I know it's a tough decision, but somebody along the line needed to make it.
So let's go back to the people saying, "Whoa, I got a bunch of medical professionals saying he was ready to go. This is, I'm not going to trust your opinion over their opinion." Well, here's the problem.
That's what the doctors told somebody in the media.
Kawhi Leonard. Like, do I need to say more? What was his issue last year in San Antonio? His issue last year in San Antonio was that he was hurt, and he didn't like the treatment that was being given to him by the doctors.
It's true. They were trying to rush him back.
They were trying to rush him back, and he didn't appreciate that because he was hurt, and he was trying to get healthy so he'd be effective again, so he sat out the full year, gets traded, and here we are. Here we are.
It's interesting.
And he's fully healthy. God forbid, he's fully healthy, wasn't rushed back, and he's one win away from beating one of the best dynasties in the history of the NBA. Here, this has been an ongoing problem in sports, where the team doctors are at the will of the team. They work for the team. And you can't sit here and tell me that a medical doctor would allow Zdeno Chara to go out and play with a broken jaw. Like, how can you medically clear him to play? I understand that it's part of this time of year. You're playing through injuries, right? You're playing through injuries, clearly. But at the end of the day, it's the team's choice. So the doctors sort of bite the bullet for the team, and their first instinct is, you're okay. We're going to give you this medication, and you're going to be fine. Ask Alonzo Mourning how that worked out. At what age did he have to get a kidney transplant? Why do you think he had to get a kidney transplant? This is a problem that happens behind the scenes, and I think now, for the first time, players are biting back and saying, no, I know when I'm not right. I know when I am hurt. And you are not going to sit here and tell me to try to rush back before I'm ready to risk further injury. Some do, some don't. The situation sort of bore out that he was going to come back because his team was down 3-1, and they needed him. That's why can't they just say that? Why can't they just say that?
Exactly. I mean, I think Chara is a good example to bring up here because, you know, like you said, who is ever going to try to tell you that, medically speaking, Zdeno Chara should have been out there skating with his broken jaw? Medically speaking, you're not going to be cleared. The only reason that you would do that is because of the stakes, and everybody respected his decision to do that. Like, yeah, that is pretty stupid. I wouldn't do that, but I respect your fire to go after a title that hard. I respect that. You know, if the Warriors and Kevin Durant had just said that himself, you know, I have to fizzle out each time I do this because it is just not worth it. The dude blew his Achilles out. He's going to miss over a year right in the middle of his best basketball. It's just not worth it. If you're not ready to go, don't go. I'm totally backing off my take right now. Even if the stakes are that high, don't go, because it's not worth it. Look at Kevin Durant. This is the only example you really need.
My goodness, I'm sorry. 6379 on the text line. I am so jealous. Is at Pebble Beach right now at the U.S. Open. What I would give to be there. Sidebar. But 8710 said he had his own physicians advising him that aren't beholden to the team. His own physicians signed off too. And There's another
yeah,
question I have.
Failure's all over.
His own physicians, what are you doing? Okay? Are you now you're folding to Kevin Durant, right? you're folding to a guy saying, no, let me play. This is game five of the NBA Finals.
If you want to.
319-366-1600. Brian and Marion calling in on the phone line. Brian, thanks for the call. The floor is yours, my friend.
Yeah, I just was going to go ahead and talk about the Achilles thing. I heard today a couple times on ESPN Radio with Stephen A. and sounded like with the tear that he had that there was a good chance that he was going to have surgery anyway. So I guess what I'm getting at is if that's the case, if he had to have surgery either way, knowing that, maybe he was just going out there going, if I blow it out, I'm having surgery. Or if I don't blow it out, I'm still having surgery.
Brian, thanks for the phone call. I heard that too. Here, surgery is not something that's... There are different stages of surgery.
A small tear in your
severity
calf.
Of surgery. Yeah, maybe he would have had to have surgery on his calf, but a ruptured Achilles?
This is not what he was expecting.
This goes back to my question. If he knew that he needed to have surgery on it, why is he playing?
And again, if that is to be taken as true, if they knew he was going to need to have surgery, then that would indicate there is damage. Like, we know there is damage. So how are you going to walk him out there and trot in front of the cameras and say, oh, there's no chance he's going to get any worse? There's an existing tear, and you're going to tell me it's not going to get any worse. You're not worried about that at all.
It's a slight tear. If he plays again, it's going to be a large tear or a rupture of the Achilles tendon. And that's what we have right now. I know that this isn't necessarily an issue that a lot of people are up on, but this is something that's gone on in sports for a long time. And despite the fact that we have more awareness than ever about the dangers of injuries in different sports, including head injuries in football and soccer and ACL injuries and Achilles injuries, we still get team doctors and team physicians, not only at the college, at the NBA or the professional level, but the college level, where this crap goes on. Where I know a kid who started his football career at an SEC school, had a broken foot going in. They didn't treat it. They refused to treat it. They said, "You're fine. You're fine. It's not a bad injury. Just get back out there. We're going to give you some painkillers to dull the pain, but you're fine. Go out there and work out." Well, he refused to do it. He leaves the school after about 3 months, goes to another school, a mid-major school. He has a knee problem. They said, no, you're fine. You're all right. You're good. There's nothing wrong with your knee. And after the season, he went to get a knee operation, and they found out that his ACL was torn, his tibia was chipped at the base, and
it's the foot problems.
And his knee and his upper leg were broken, just completely torn, and they didn't treat it because their first inclination is still to say, "You're fine." And like I said, it's part of playing this time of year. Everybody's a little bit hurt, but there is clearly a line between being hurt and being injured. And if this is going to be the result, then it's not worth it. 319-366-1600. 6717. Have you guys seen the close-up, the slow-motion video of literally the moment when his Achilles blows out? Ouch, painful to watch. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was.
There's been a couple of
Chris
those
Conley of the Chiefs had one like it where you just see the back of the leg collapse. You see sort of that snap. It was just a clean rupture. It was really, really gross to watch. And yeah. I hope that we get to see Kevin Durant at least at 90% of what he was when he comes back at age, hopefully 32. Because that's a physical thing you have to get over. It's also a mental thing because from what I've heard, the feeling that you get when that happens is something that scars you for the rest of your life.
I can imagine how, especially look at his two injuries are just him kind of, you know, dancing around kind of on the balls of his feet. And I can imagine how once that has happened, I would be nervous to plant and drive off of my right foot. I can't even imagine.
309-366-1600. We're going to take a break. Thanks for all of the text. The text line is lighting up today on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. We will come back. Kyle will get you a big board update, and Brad Botkin of CBS Sports is going to join us to talk about Game 6 of the NBA Finals, as well as a little free agency speculation after this.
At Menards, nobody beats our selection of patio blocks. Get the blocks you need to create your ideal outdoor space. Whether it's flawless landscaping, a spacious patio, or a sturdy retaining wall, there's no limit to what you can create. 16-inch cobblestone and lake stone patio blocks are your choice. Get two for $5. Stop in and save through June 15th during Menards Father's Day sale. Plus, a Menards gift card is perfect for Father's Day.
Save big money at Menards.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were already creating our now classic beers. At Third Base Brewery, we've been refining our brews for over 20 years with perfection in every pour. And our All Your Favorites with a Few Surprises menu is just as tempting. That's why people always come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in, Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and Sea Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
There's one.
I see it.
Another.
See it. Didn't see that one.
Potholes are just waiting to damage your ride. If you hit one, it can mess up your alignment, shocks, struts, and suspension. So if your vehicle has a disagreement with a pothole, have Linder Tire take a look at it. They can make sure it's all right or fix any problems that annoying pothole caused. Linder Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell. See them at lindertire.com.
Trying to take back your space and have old appliances, grills, and lawnmowers that don't work anymore and old tires in your garage or basement? Bring them to the Cedar Rapids Linn County Solid Waste Agency. Starting July 1st, appliances, scrap metal, and tires will only be accepted at 1954 County Home Road in Marion, the same location as the landfill and resource recovery building, so you can take care of all your disposal and recycling in one trip. Some items have a drop-off fee, so get pricing and other details at Solid Waste Agency.
Good losers gamble to have fun. They know losing is part of the game. In fact, good losers plan on it. And they never lose more than they can afford. Good losers know when to stop. If you're a good loser, you sleep no problem. But if you can't sleep, if your losses hurt too much, we can help. Call 1-800-BETS-OFF or visit 1-800-BETS-OFF.org and find out once and for all, are you a good loser? Brought to you by the Iowa Department of Public Health.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
The Los Angeles Dodgers and the Chicago Cubs. Live from Dodger Stadium this weekend.
Saturday night starting at 7 o'clock here on the gym. 1600 AM, 106.3 FM, KGYM.
5:30. Welcome back. We're halfway done on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids for a Thursday Todd Brommelkamp show with Alex Kuhn. It's Alex Kuhn. It's Kyle Mann. Todd is out today. Jackson Parker is our producer today on the other side of the glass, and a little bit later he's going to be hooking you up with a $30 gift certificate to Mulligan's Pub as well as a Freedom Festival prize pack. Kyle, do not let me forget about either of these prizes. We will give them both away in the next hour and a half, and we're going to give away one of them after Brad Botkin from CBS Sports joins us in just a few minutes. And we'll get Brad on the line here in just a second. But first, we need to get you a big board update. Here is Kyle.
It wasn't all that long ago that the Dallas Wings drafted Iowa living legend Megan Gustafson in the second round of the WNBA draft and then cut her right before the season started. Well, you'll never guess who came crawling right back to re-sign the reigning National Player of the Year after starting the season 0-4. Gustafson was top three in the nation in scoring, field goal percentage, and rebounding, and she could be active as soon as Sunday for a team that's last in scoring, second to last in field goal percentage, and fifth worst in rebounding. The Iowa football team added a player to its class of 2020 yesterday evening, securing a commitment from three-star offensive lineman Mason Richmond out of Kansas. He's 6'6" and 250 pounds entering his senior season and also held offers from Air Force, Akron, and Kansas. 11 members in, the class is ranked by 24/7 Sports as the 22nd in the country and 5th in the Big Ten. The Colonels are 4 games out of a wild card spot with only 5 games remaining in the first half, so it's going to be difficult, but it's not impossible, and they've been doing about as much as they can down the stretch here. Having won 7 of their last 8, they're 9-3 in the month of June and going for a sweep of Wisconsin here tonight starting at 6:30. We had the Blues winning their first Stanley Cup in franchise history last night, and we could have the Toronto Raptors doing much the same tonight in Game 6 of the NBA Finals. It's not going to be easy against an inspired Golden State team in Oakland, however, so you won't want to miss it on all 3 KGYM frequencies as soon as we get off the air. Tip-off set for 8 o'clock.
Why don't we preview that game right now, Kyle?
We could probably do that.
Friend of the show, Brad Botkin from CBS Sports joins us now. And Brad, Game 6 of the NBA Finals. The Raptors had a chance to close things out just a few days ago. Should Raptors fans be nervous at this point?
Yeah, a little bit, right? You're playing the champs, and I think kind of the defining characteristic of this Warriors team throughout this run, for all the glitz and the glamour and the three-point shooting, their fight, their unwillingness to give an inch, to quit. They just don't give up. They keep coming. They keep shooting. They keep fighting. And for that reason, they're still in this series because, tangibly speaking, they are undermanned. They are outmatched. I made the analogy the other day that they feel like an overmatched baseball hitter that just keeps fouling pitches off, but they are overmatched. Like, they somehow fouled a 100-mile-an-hour fastball off in Game 5, and they stayed alive. But I would be very surprised if they got out of this thing without eventually striking out, because they're overmatched right now. And then I just don't think that they have what it takes from a depth standpoint. They can't guard all of the actions that Toronto has with their multiple playmakers without Kevin Durant. They lose so much defensively. We all talk about the offense, but they can't switch everything. They can't play small with Draymond Green at the 5, because that Durant kind of gave them that luxury with being a 7-footer to protect the rim and to rebound. There are just so many trickle-down effects without having Kevin Durant that give the advantage to Toronto. But the Warriors have that classic puncher's chance. You know, they got 2 knockout punchers, and if they hit a couple, yeah, they can win. And I think for that reason, definitely until the final horn sounds, the Raptors are going to be a little nervous.
Is it strange? Maybe I'm just imagining things, but is it strange to you at all that the narrative about the Golden State Warriors right now and their resilience and toughness is completely flipping? Because you mentioned, as much as this team has sort of walked through playoffs in the past, they've shown that in the past, but now it's getting talked about.
Yeah, they haven't walked through play. I mean, they did the first year that Durant showed up. They walked through. But other than that, last year they had to battle their backside off to get out of the series with Houston.
Right.
In 2016, they were down 3-1 to Oklahoma City. In 2015, they were down 2-1 in the second round, third round, and finals. So this is a team that's had to show kind of its resolve on a regular basis. I think it's a characteristic that's gotten lost on this team for all the glamour of it. But they scrap, they fight. And I think, yeah, there's a contingent of people that haven't paid attention to that part of this team. They've kind of just caught the highlights in the passing. And they're seeing it now, if they're paying attention to this playoff run in this series, that there aren't many teams that can absorb a loss like Kevin Durant and still remain competitive. Now, that speaks to their talent. They obviously have more talent on the backside of Kevin Durant than most teams do. But they're banged up right now. I mean, Kevon Looney's playing with a broken rib. Klay Thompson's got a stretched hamstring. Iguodala's not 100%. Curry hasn't really been 100% these entire playoffs. They're thin. DeMarcus Cousins is 50% of what he used to be. They are just doing everything they can, again, to just scrap and fight and foul pitches off. I keep using that analogy, but I'm telling you, they are overmatched right now, and the Raptors are throwing fastball after fastball, and they have a heck of a fastball. Kawhi Leonard's the best player in the series right now. They are deep. They are versatile defensively, and the thing that scares you if you're a Warriors fan is the Raptors are getting the shots that they want. Pascal Siakam had open shots in the corner all night in Game 5. They just then suddenly missing a few of those shots that they didn't miss early in the series. So it's not like the Warriors are just suddenly turning off the faucet and not letting Toronto score and not letting them do the things that they did early in the series. They're still getting those shots. And I just don't know how long you can bank on them continuing to miss them.
I normally kind of think, just generally speaking, the idea of home court advantage and the impact it brings is a little bit overstated traditionally, but during this dynasty, Golden State has been very good at Oracle. And, you know, with either of these games could be the last, how important is it that this game is taking place in Oakland?
It's very important. I mean, this is the last. No, whether this goes seven or not, this is the last game at Oracle Arena, and that is going to be a heck of a catapult for the Warriors. I caution, though, and you hear this all the time, when teams come home, you always hear, well, we're going back home. We can get a win there. They almost assume a victory because they're going back home, and that can really bite you because the Warriors are not good enough right now, and the Raptors are enough better that home court is not enough to lean on. They're going to have to come out tonight, make shots, and play defense and scrap on the boards. They are overmatched on the glass. Crazy. They're giving up offensive rebounds right and left. They can't finish defensive possessions. So all these things that they have to do tangibly to win a basketball game, they still got to do tonight. To rely on the home court and say, well, we're back at home, we're going to get this one, because a lot of people are saying that. Can't imagine the Warriors losing at home. I can. The Raptors are a better team right now. So they could be playing in Toronto, Golden State, or down on the playground at Venice Beach. The Raptors are a better team. The Warriors have to come out and do something to take them down. They have got to make shots, and that doesn't matter where they're playing. They're going to have to do something tonight. They're favored tonight. I do not think that should be the case. I think the Raptors should be favored tonight. But the home court, it certainly helps. It certainly helps. The emotion in that building is going to be off the charts, but it's not something that the Warriors can lean on.
You mentioned all the injuries. It's one thing for Klay Thompson to have a hamstring issue. It's one thing for a guy like Boogie Cousins to not be able to jump. Those are things that are hindering you. But I'm watching Kevon Looney the other night, and you mentioned the broken rib. He could barely breathe. It looked like he was having trouble breathing, and he's going to play in game six. How tough is this kid?
He's an absolute stud, and I talked to an orthopedic surgeon about all the injuries that the Warriors are going through, and it's all about the risk of re-injury. As unfortunately we saw with Kevin Durant, the risk for re-injury was very high with a calf injury. People I've spoken to think that injury, the original injury for Kevin Durant, was actually further down in the calf and closer to the Achilles tendon to begin with. And I think the Warriors kind of didn't let us know that from a PR standpoint. They kind of just made it sound like an everyday calf strain. But the other injuries don't have the same risk of re-injury. So it's just a matter of playing through the pain. And you mentioned it, Kevon Looney is playing through serious pain. Anybody who's ever had a rib injury knows that, as you said, it's difficult to even breathe. So the doctors that I've spoken to say that he's for sure getting shot up with local anesthetic. He's getting shot. He's probably wearing some kind of a rib jacket. He is battling. And at this time of the year, you just can't help but respect that kind of effort because the Warriors need it. They need every single body they can muster to give them 10 minutes, 12 minutes, 7 minutes, 4 points, 6 rebounds, anything they can get outside of Klay, Steph, and Draymond to try to push them over the edge in this series. But there's no question that that what Kevon Looney is putting him through from a pain standpoint is remarkable.
I want to go back to something you just talked about with Kevin Durant. We discussed this for the last half hour. Should he have been playing? Should he not? How much criticism do the Golden State Warriors deserve? How much is fair for the handling of Kevin Durant and having him return in Game 5?
Yeah, I think that the biggest criticism for me is from the PR standpoint. I think that if they would have come out at the beginning of all this and said, look, this is a calf injury, but it's low on the calf, and it is very close to that connection point on the kinetic chain to the Achilles tendon. And bringing him back is very much risking the Achilles tendon because that's not something that we now know just in hindsight. That's something that physicians warned me about the minute that the injury took place. You could see how low that Kevin Durant was icing his calf. It was down there close to the Achilles tendon. And every doctor that I spoke to warned of the risk of a weakened calf kind of exposing that whole kinetic chain, and you're very much risking an Achilles tendon snapping. And I think if the Warriors had been better from a PR standpoint all along, people would have understood. But instead, they sort of glossed over it. They said, oh, it's a minor calf strain. We dodged a bullet. He could be back in 2 weeks. But then it was 3 weeks. And then it was 4 weeks. And then suddenly the onus is shifting onto Kevin Durant. People are starting to question, does this guy even want to play? Klay Thompson's playing hurt. Kevon Looney's playing hurt. DeMarcus Cousins playing hurt. Why can't Kevin Durant play hurt? They didn't come out and clear that up. This is a different situation. Those guys don't have risk of re-injury. Kevin Durant does. They didn't make that clear. So I don't think that they put him in harm's way in terms of lying to him or putting him on the court when he shouldn't have been there. I think inside they knew the risk all along, and Kevin Durant decided it was worth the risk to come out and play and try to help his team when they were down 3-1. But I don't think the public knew the risk. And so they allowed the public to question Durant's willingness to get back on the floor. And I don't think from a PR standpoint, I don't think that was fair. Because I think internally, they knew all along that they were playing with fire.
Brad Botkin of CBS Sports joining us for just a few more minutes. And Brad, from the Toronto side, Kyle Lowry, does he deserve criticism for the ending of that game, or is he the Raptors' designated fall guy?
Yeah, I think it's the latter. You know, if you're talking about just that last shot, Draymond Green got a hand on that shot. So it's not like he threw up a side backboard shot just because he choked. Draymond Green got a hand on that shot. So he's played well. I mean, fact of the matter is, I think if you took Kawhi Leonard out of the equation and the Raptors win, I think Kyle Lowry would be the MVP. He's been really, really good in this series. He's made the right play at every turn. He's been tough defensively. He's had a couple of big scoring games. A couple of big three-point shooting games that in that game where the Warriors were trying to make a run every time in game three where Curry had 47, every single time they got it to 7 points. It felt like 4 or 5 times in the second half they were right there. And every time Kyle Lowry was one of the guys that knocked down a big shot to keep them at bay. Danny Green, Siakam, they all did the same thing. Kyle Lowry's been really good in this series. And I think that because of some of his playoff performances in past years, he's become an easy fall guy, but he's been very, very good in this series. And again, that last shot, I mean, I thought that was down because the way they swung the ball, it ends up with a good look in the corner or what looked to be a good look, and it was just set up just from a fitting standpoint of all the criticism that Kyle Lowry has received. It seemed like it was just set up for him to hit that shot at home and deliver Toronto a championship, and it didn't happen because Draymond Green made a play.
Where did you fall on the Nick Nurse timeout discussion?
Listen, when that happened, when he called the timeout in real time, I said that's a weird timeout. But I actually said I thought it was a good timeout, and I stand by that. Look, they were a couple of possessions away from finishing that game off, right? They were up, I think, at the time 6 with 3 minutes to play. They get a couple more buckets, and that thing's over. So his guys were gassed. He calls timeout, corrals his guys' emotions, gets the fatigue under control, and has one last message to the team. Guys, don't turn it over. Secure the boards. 2 more buckets, and we're walking away with a championship. I think it was a logical time to refocus his team on the task at hand and the championship that was right in front of them. And I think only because it didn't work, the Warriors were the ones that turned out to use that rest to their advantage, and they came out and made a couple of shots. In hindsight, with the benefit of results, we now think it was a bad timeout. I really don't think it was. I understand the argument of the whole boxing analogy. They had the Warriors on the ropes. There was a standing 8. They were staggered, and they let them go back to the corner and get their wits about them. That's fine. But at the end of the day, Steph Curry and Klay Thompson came back and made 3 3-point shots. Don't tell me that if they hadn't called that timeout, those guys aren't capable of making those same shots. In fact, the Warriors want kind of a frenetic game, up and down, get lost in the chaos, and shooters find themselves open for shots. The Raptors kind of slowing that game down and calling that timeout and not allowing it to get out of control and let that 6-point lead evaporate without kind of taking care of it, I think that actually was the smart move. It just didn't work out. I don't think that was nearly as bad of a call as people have made it out to be.
With this series now coming to a close or very close to it, we're just on the precipice of what's going to be a very wild free agency offseason. And all of a sudden, to me, it looks like the first shoe that's going to have to drop is whether or not Kevin Durant opts in or goes and signs a new deal when he's about to sit out the first year. So how do you see him playing out his situation?
Well, all reports so far have said that him opting in is still a last resort. He would only do it if he's not going to get a long-term deal from another team. He would opt in, take the year to rehabilitate, take the $31.5 million, and then go into free agency again in 2020 after he's proved that he's healthy again. I don't think that's going to happen. I've talked to three or four people around the league, scouts, executives, and pretty much everybody is in agreement that Kevin Durant will get the same offers that he would have gotten before the injury. Most people think that because of the way he plays, he's a lighter body, his ability to shoot over the top of defenders. He's not entirely reliant on explosion like, say, a John Wall, who I think is really going to struggle to come back and be the same player with his Achilles injury, or DeMarcus Cousins, who's got 250 pounds of weight on that Achilles. I think Durant's set up to be, you know, even if he's only 90% of what he used to be, still a top three player in the league. So he'll get the offers. The question now is the second guys that were presumably going to join him, right? The Knicks, the whole thing was they can offer two max contracts, so somebody's going to join Durant. If he goes to the Nets, somebody's going to join Durant. The Clippers can clear two max cap spaces if they trade Danilo Gallinari. If he went there, it would be somebody's going to join Durant. And now the question is, okay, the teams are willing to wait on him. They're still willing to sign him. But are the potential second stars willing to waste a year? Is Kyrie Irving willing to sign with the Knicks if Durant signs there and pretty much cash in next year? Is he willing to cash in next year on the Nets? So I think that becomes the bigger question. Those other dominoes in free agency, the teams are fine. They're still going to offer Durant the max deal. But the players who were going to be in place to join him, they might not be so willing to give up a year of their career. And I think, to me, that it leads to Kyrie Irving heading back to play with the Lakers. Now, I think that probably the Nets are the leader in the clubhouse from all the reports. But if you think about it, Kyrie needs a second star, and suddenly Durant was going to be that guy, I think, in a lot of people's eyes. Now he's not going to have him next year. LeBron is built in, and I think this Anthony Davis trade is going to happen. So it's going to be pretty difficult for me to see Kyrie Irving choosing a team where he does not have a second star with him immediately next year against the Lakers team where he can play with LeBron James and Anthony Davis next year and be the favorite to win the title. I think these wins are starting to shift in the direction of the Lakers.
We're going to have to get to Anthony Davis here in a second. Luckily, I don't think this answer is going to take all that long. Should fans around the league even spend any time at all considering the fact that Klay Thompson plays for anyone other than the Warriors next season?
No. 100% no. They're probably going to lose Durant, and they don't have the salary cap space to go out and replace any of those guys. The only move they have is to re-sign their guys, so they're going to offer Klay Thompson as much as they can. They got a little bit of a break that he didn't make the third-team All-NBA team. Had he made that team, he would have been eligible for $221 million. Now he's only eligible for $190. It saved the Warriors $30 million. They're going to offer him every penny they can, and I'd be shocked if he didn't take it.
Brad Botkin of CBS Sports joining us. Let's get back to what you said. Anthony Davis to the Lakers, huh?
Well, I think it's like 90% at this point. The Lakers have the best package. I think that package that they offered at the trade deadline was a lot better than it was portrayed. Those are four really good young players. And then the fact that the Pelicans didn't take it at that time works out for them, too, because had they taken that, Anthony Davis goes to the Lakers turn into a playoff team, they don't get the number four pick. So they let the Lakers stink for the rest of the year. They let them get the number four pick. Now that can be included in the pick as well. Now they can get a guy like Darius Garland or Kobe White out of UNC who are top flight point guards who can come in and be the point guard of the future alongside Zion Williamson. They've got four really, really good players from the Lakers with high upside. David Griffin has been very, very complimentary of Brandon Ingram in his time that he was an ESPN analyst before he got hired on with the Pelicans there. There's just a lot of reason to believe that the Lakers are the leader in the clubhouse now. Even if they have to involve a third team, they could potentially ship Lonzo Ball to another team. I know Chicago is very interested in him. I think they could involve a third team, get more draft picks, and get as much value as possible. The Celtics are really the only team that can match the Lakers' offer, and that thing's fallen by the wayside. If they lose Kyrie Irving, are they really going to give up all of their young guys for a guy in Anthony Davis that's probably going to walk in free agency the next year? I just don't think they can afford to put their best cards on the table now with Kyrie leaving. And they lost a big opportunity to get a big trade piece this year. They had the Memphis pick, if it had fallen outside the top eight, but it doesn't. Memphis shoots up to number two. Now the best pick that the Celtics can offer from this year is the 14th pick. They just don't have the same leverage. The Lakers have the fourth pick. This is not a deep draft. Big, big gap between 4 and 14. And then you top on those really good young players. I just think the Lakers have the best package. It's where Anthony Davis wants to be. Every other team has to have the fear of him only staying for 1 year and leaving. It's all leading toward the Lakers. I'd be surprised if the deal isn't done by the draft.
At Brad Botkin CBS on Twitter, if you want to give him a follow and read his work. Great stuff as always, Brad. Thank you for joining us.
All right, thanks, guys.
552, there you have it. Did you see the report that's sort of breaking out of Boston right now?
There
are reports, people close to Roc Nation who expect to be Kyrie Irving's new representatives, that Kyrie will sign with the Brooklyn Nets.
Well, well, well. I don't think the Nets have been relevant for me since Jason Kidd and Richard Jefferson played for them. And I guess they made relevance a funny word. They made the go at it with Deron Williams and KG, but that was an all-time backfire.
You have a bunch of nice young players and you want to put Kyrie in there? Really?
Dude, I don't know what they intend to do with D'Angelo Russell, but I've said a couple times, you look at McCollum and Lillard. You look at the Splash Brothers. You know, I think what some, you know, James Harden and Chris Paul, I think what teams think, you know, makes you an elite team in this league right now is having a deadly, I'm talking deadly, two-headed backcourt.
I get that.
Kyrie and D'Angelo Russell, you know, that's a, you know, those are two guys who can take you off the dribble, a couple good passers, too. You know, that'd be pretty spicy.
Caris LeVert, Spencer Dinwiddie, nice like wing players, like you said.
LeVert is low-key really good.
He's a great player. Yeah. I never thought that he was going to be that type of player when he was coming out of Michigan.
He's got that length. He's got a lot of skill for a 6'7 guy.
What we need to do right now, we need to take a break. We'll come back, wrap up hour number two of the program, and get ready for Woodja in hour number three. More of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Kyle Mann sitting in for Todd Brommelkamp after this.
Quit eating your burgers off a coffee table. If you want to eat a burger, put it on a bar. Follow your instincts to B-Dubs for the new All-American Cheeseburger. Fresh, juicy beef smashed till it's crispy around the edges, covered in gooey cheese, and stacked to the ceiling with deliciousness. And knock that baby down with a frosted beer at the bar. Just like the sports gods intended. The new All-American Cheeseburger at Buffalo Wild Wings. Roar! Please drink responsibly.
Cedar Rapids Colonels, let the good times roll.
This Friday is UNI Panther Pride Night at the Colonels. The first 1,000 fans receive a free UNI rally towel and bid on Panther game-worn jerseys. UNI mascots TC and TK will be at the game too. Visit colonels.com to get your tickets now for the best party in town and party at the park with the Cedar Rapids Colonels.
Cedar Rapids Colonels, let the good times roll.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
Have everything you need for your next oil change? Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts and save on 5 quarts of Castrol GTX conventional motor oil and a MicroGuard filter for $24.99. Plus, earn triple O rewards points. Protect your engine with O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
A Sport Clips Championship haircut experience makes you feel like your hair has its own walk-up music. Maybe you play sports. Maybe you play sports online. Or maybe your sport is keeping up with your kids. Your hair deserves its own walk-up music. And at Sport Clips, we make it easy. A game-changing cut from a stylist trained for guys while you're surrounded by sports. Hair this good needs no introduction, but you'll want one anyway. So download the app, check in, and get your hair in the game.
This is the NBA Finals. The Warriors survive elimination and force Game 6 in Oakland.
Coverage begins tonight at 7 o'clock here on the Gym. KGYM.
All three frequencies, as you heard there from Jeff Downing. Game 6 of the NBA Finals coming up on KGYM. Why don't we need to do this right now. I said that after Brad Botkin.
Don't forget to give away the prizes.
At Brad Botkin of CBS Sports joined us. We're going to give away our first prize, and it's going to be the $30 gift certificate to Mulligan's Pub to caller number 6. If you won a prize within the last 30 days, you are not eligible, so do not call in. But caller number 6 right now to 319-366-1600 is going to win a $30 gift certificate to Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road, where we will be next Thursday. We'll find out who caller number 6 is in just a second. KGYMradio.com is where you can vote in our poll question, our Emil's Hideaway poll question, and it is, will there be an NBA Finals game number 7? Yes or no? And let's see what the results are through just about 2.5 hours of local programming. Right now, no leads the way, just barely, 55-45. So very similar to last night. No was Boston, the underdog, or the favorite, was just a little bit ahead. But the underdog came through.
You know, I just couldn't help but remember the conversations we had yesterday about the going on the road for game 7 like that. And then Brad makes the comment that, you know, a team goes on the road and or a team goes back to home like the Warriors tonight, and it almost becomes an assumption that they're just going to win.
Right.
That's not the case. Like, this series could be over tonight.
Yes, it
very
could.
Realistically.
Very realistically. In fact, as I said, the Raptors have not lost at Oracle Arena this season. Kyle gives you big board updates once an hour. He'll have his final big board update in hour number 3, and it's brought to you by Alexander Lumber. Answers by Alexander will help you choose the deck that's right for your outdoor space and your budget. They have 2 locations in Iowa City. When we return, Woodja is going to tackle a very interesting topic, one that is very timely and one that has to do with another tortured fan base finally reaching something that they never thought that they would reach. That would be the St. Louis Blues winning the Stanley Cup. Who is the next tortured fan base to win a championship? We will discuss next.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM. KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Doug Brown. The Raptors came close to their first NBA title in Game 5 until the Warriors ripped it away with a run down the stretch. Can Golden State keep their edge tonight in Game 6 even after losing Kevin Durant again? ESPN's Brian Windhorst.
They can't put out a good offensive and a good defense team at the same time right now. It's a real issue. But to me, the biggest X factor is whether they've got that spirit.
Brian Windhorst on the Jump. Coverage of Game 6 starts at 8 Eastern on ESPN Radio, ABC, and the ESPN app. Hornets guard Kemba Walker says he'd like to stay in Charlotte, but he'll meet with other teams in free agency before making a decision. Walker also says he'd be willing to take less than a Supermax deal to stay with the Hornets. Kentucky coach John Calipari signs a 10-year, $86 million extension with the Wildcats. In his first 10 years in Lexington, he's taken the team to the Final Four 4 times, including winning the title in 2012. First round of the U.S. Open at Pebble Beach. 3 players already in at 5-under-66, sharing the lead. Ricky Fowler, Xander Schauffele, and Louis Oosthuizen. Tiger Woods still on his front nine. He's at 1-under-par. Baseball finals today. The Braves win their 7th in a row, beating the Pirates 6-5. 7 losses in a row for Pittsburgh. The Twins beat the Mariners 10-5. Nelson Cruz drives in 3. The NFL plans to start replay review on pass interference calls in the last 2 minutes of each half and in overtime this season. The replay official will call for those reviews.
Coming up Friday, the latest from the NBA Finals Game 6, and a look ahead at all the drama already in free agency.
Plus Tiger at Pebble.
And moves are happening in the NFL. That and more Friday on Golic and Wingo.
6 Eastern, ESPN Radio, ESPN2.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems. Listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
Congratulations to Shane and Walford. He is the winner of our $30 gift certificate to Mulligan's Pub. We'll have one more of those awaiting for call a lucky caller number 6 tomorrow. And don't worry, if you didn't win that prize, you'll have another chance to win a prize shortly. We have a Freedom Festival prize pack coming up for you after we get to our next segment. It is a Thursday. It is a tradition unlike any other. It is Would Ya, and Kyle will get into Would Ya here in just a second. Excuse me, you can visit our website, kgymradio.com. Our poll question is available. Will there be a Game 7 in the NBA Finals? Kyle, in the spirit of what happened last night, one of the more improbable sports stories that I have ever seen, a franchise that had never won a championship, a very unique situation because it's not like there was a whole lot of futility with said franchise, the St. Louis Blues. They've been around for 51 years. They had only missed the playoffs 9 times in their existence, but they could never win the Stanley Cup. Because of that, it was one of the more tortured fan bases in professional sports. A team where you constantly think that you have a chance, and when push came to shove, they could not win it all. They could not win the ultimate prize. So my question for Would Ya is, would you give me the next tortured franchise to win a championship?
This is such a good question, but unfortunately it has such an easy answer, at least as far as I'm concerned. I know, luckily there's a lot of people out there who are going to disagree, including the guy sitting across from me. This is simple for me. This is the Cleveland Browns.
Wow.
Who?
Championship. They're going to win a Super Bowl.
Are we talking about this year? Like this?
No, the next one.
Yeah. Yeah. Next up is the Cleveland Browns, because who's even left anymore? We don't have the 100-year Cubs. We don't have the...
We have the Cleveland Indians, who I thought I thought it was going to be a shoo-in that they were going to be the next one.
Indians missed their window.
And their window is shut.
Yeah. It's gone. It's not going to be the Indians. They had their chance. And here's the thing. I don't think any team out there can even come close to claiming that they're tortured or suffering quite as much as the Browns can, at least over...
Oh, no.
They have been made fun of so bad, even here the last year or so, all the good moves they're making. Baker Mayfield looked, you know, as good as he did. And there are still people out there like Alex Kuhn denying that this is a good team.
I'm denying that.
Yeah, we've done that. We've had this exact same conversation before.
Yeah, let's have it again. Because I am not picking them to win an AFC championship game in year one, that means that I'm denying that they're good.
Well, we're not talking about year one.
Or in the next 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So me predicting that they won't make an AFC championship game in the next 5 years is denying that they're good.
You look at that roster right now, and you tell me that over the next 5 years, you don't think they're going to make it to a single AFC championship game? Yeah, I think you're telling me that you see a significant flaw in that team.
How many AFC championship games have some of those players been to?
I don't know. Not a lot. I mean, I'm not going to tell you they've been there before, but that team looks awfully, awfully good. And it's not, here's the thing, it's not just your Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham and Baker Mayfield and Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt and David Njoku. Yeah, it's the defense too. This is a good team on both sides of the ball. And, you know, only time is going to tell, but I am ready to submit my vote confidently in favor of the Cleveland Browns.
All right, 319-366-1600. You can text us on the Hurtian Stocker text line. Better yet, give us a call. Which tortured fan base will be the next to win a championship? And Ryan, the food delivery guy, gets me to a team. I love Vikings fans. I love Minnesota Vikings fans. Because there's another team where I put them in that same boat as the St. Louis Blues, where this is a team that is constantly in the hunt. They're always pretty darn good, and they can never get over the hunt. In many ways, those types of teams are made fun of more than teams who suck. Why is that?
Take the Browns out of it, and we can maybe do that.
Well, other than like the really, really bad teams, but
you're right. I think it's just because it is funny to imagine a fan base or a team that just repeatedly gets gut punched like that. You think, you know, you're right. There have been several different spells.
There's nothing funny about it, Kyle.
Just throughout our lifetime, there have been. I'm thinking of two. Separate eras when Brett Favre was there and guys like Sidney Rice was a good player on that team. And then
how close were they to the Super Bowl that year? Yeah, I know.
And recently now, like those are two really good separate windows that the Vikings didn't pan out.
Rob in Center Point wants to join us on the phone line. Rob, go ahead.
Hey, guys, when I was 7 or 8 years old, I realized that my brother and my dad had their favorite sports teams, that I needed to have mine. So I picked a baseball team, I picked the Yankees, I picked a basketball team, I picked the Celtics, and for the football team, I picked the Vikings. Now, 2 out of 3 aren't bad. But as a Vikings fan and getting close and seeing, you know, when they should have, could have, would have, the biggest spur in my side as a Vikings fan and not making it is the pass interference call in the New Orleans Rams game. Because New Orleans whines and whines that they got robbed. Well, when they targeted Favre, and even the commission came out and said, yeah, that's what happened, nobody pity-poured me, the Vikings, at that point in time. Not the way they're doing it for New Orleans. So one of these years, if the St. Louis Blues can win it, by God, the Vikings got to be able to win it.
Rob, let me just tell you, the Vikings, I feel like, are somehow related to the St. Louis. They're in the same family where it's the level of thinking that they're going to get there and the gut punches. And I want the Vikings to be the answer to this question. Thank you for the phone call.
Not a problem. Thanks, guys.
I love Vikings fans. They're always calling to the show. They're passionate about their team, and they don't give up on their team. They get very frustrated when they think that they have a chance and something goes terribly wrong. I want it to be the Minnesota Vikings. I think eventually, with as many times as they put themselves in a one-game position, This isn't hockey where you have to go 4 rounds of 7-game series. It's the hardest thing in sports to win. The grueling nature of that makes it very difficult. But in a football situation, you're in the playoffs and you have to win a wild card round, a divisional round, a championship game. 3 games.
You got to show up for 3 afternoons.
Three nights. And if you're a Vikings team that wins 13 games, which they have in the past, 2. The Vikings are going to do it. And I'm not going to sit here and say that they're going to be the next to do it, but it's going to happen eventually for Minnesota.
I think the Vikings are a good guess in terms of if we're actually talking about realistically who could be next. The Vikings are a team that's right there. You want to break down the roster a little bit. The offense is good, I think, and they missed a lot not having Dalvin Cook much last year. I think that really hurt that team, put too much pressure on Kirk Cousins. They're going to run it back next year with a very talented offense, a good solid defense again. The Vikings are a good guess there. And for the record, I would be totally cool with a Browns-Vikings Super Bowl. That would be exciting.
It really would. Okay. The Hertie and Stocker text line, we have a couple of people chiming in. Trenton and Marion wants us to give some love to the Buffalo Bills. And that's sort of my point here.
Do I see a hot take buried in here? Do you see that? You see that from Trent and Marion?
No. What is it? What is the hot take?
Stop complaining about Minnesota and St. Louis. Buffalo and Cleveland are the most tortured fan bases. Coincidentally enough, they'll be playing for the AFC Championship in the next 3 years.
Ooh.
The Bills? Am I reading that wrong? The Bills.
Their roster is improving. If you're going to do this with the Cleveland Browns, we got to do it with the Buffalo Bills. They have their franchise quarterback in Josh Allen.
No, do not even try to...
He was great this year.
Okay.
Had a really good rookie season. The Bills are a team a lot like the Blues who sort of get forgotten about, right? They're in a very small market. They have not been very successful in a very long time after Super Bowl runs that came up empty with Jim Kelly. And that's one of those franchises where you wonder, are they going to be able to attract the talent that's needed to win? Are they going to be able to draft the talent that's needed to win? Do they have the stability in their franchise to do it? I'm not going to sit here and say they're going to be in the AFC Championship game the next 5 years, but if Trent and Marion is correct, he can call back and take his victory lap, and all right, 76-33, we're going to play this game, the Kansas City Chiefs. That's also a very tortured fan base. A very tortured fan base who was dumb overtime rules away last year from having a chance to get to the Super Bowl. Who has had some very, very bad issues with some of their big time players.
Yeah.
Well, we won't even get into that.
We won't dive into it, but I don't think we can overlook it in this conversation. If we're talking about who's next... The run game that the Chiefs, it was important for the Chiefs to incorporate their run game. That and they were a good team because they had a dominant offense at pretty much in every aspect. I'm talking dominant. You cannot stop that offense. And without that aspect, without a run game that you can also rely on just as much as you can rely on Patrick Mahomes, they don't have the defense to pick up the slack.
So you like Cleveland more than you like Kansas City?
Yeah, I do. I know Patrick Mahomes is great and all, but I think that team, they've got a lot to work on, and I don't think that they're going to be able to hide their deficiencies defensively as much as they were able to last year.
Sir, you're so enamored by the Browns roster that you...
The Browns' complete roster, yeah, I am.
That you're willing to throw everything else aside and put them ahead of a team that got to the AFC Championship game last year that was pretty much one of the best teams throughout the entire year with the best quarterback in the league.
I'm trying to look where the teams are headed, not where they've been, all right? Yeah, that I am putting the Browns ahead of the Chiefs.
And I'm talking about where they're headed, right?
I'm serious. We got to... This whole Browns thing between you and me, we're so far apart on this. We have to find, we've got to get a wager put together.
A wager?
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk wager.
It's got to be something fun.
We'll do it after the 1st of July when betting is legal.
Of course, in the state of Iowa. We'll save it.
But what is the wager? That the Browns, are we talking next 3 years in the AFC Championship? Are we talking about a playoff team next? What are we talking about?
I think what I'm thinking about right now is Browns-Chiefs head-to-head. You take the Chiefs, I take the Browns.
Better record, higher finish.
Higher finish.
Well, yeah, obviously.
We'll go higher.
Well,
Not necessarily. Well, they could both sneak into the playoffs. We'll go higher finish.
What happens if the Browns win their division at 10-6 and Chiefs are 12-4 and lose their division?
Right.
So I'm going a better record.
No. Okay. In the picture, in the AFC picture, better finish for the Browns than the Chiefs.
I don't like that though, because like I just said, what if? In your case, what if the Chiefs get in at a 9-7, win the NFC West, they get the 4 seed, where the Browns finish 12-4, wind up behind a 13-3 team, they get the 6 seed or the 5 seed.
Well, then we still play out the playoffs, though.
So, what if they don't play each other in the playoffs?
They won't. Or it doesn't matter. It's just whoever makes it further in the playoffs.
Mm. All right. We'll get this all ironed out.
Yeah, we'll get it ironed out. But I am doubling down on the Browns. Anybody out there who wants a piece of it, you know where to find me.
He's got the Browns winning a Super Bowl next year. You heard it here first.
I didn't say Super Bowl next year.
I put those words in your mouth. What we need to do right now, Jackson is on the other side of the glass. Once again, thank you to Shane and Walford. He is the winner of our $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub. How about your chance to win a couple of buttons, 4 Freedom Festival buttons to a $50 value and two Freedom Festival t-shirts? Yours to caller number 6 right now to 319-366-1600. A Freedom Festival gift package available right now to caller number 6. 319-366-1600. You can vote in our poll question at kgymradio.com or email us how to a poll question. Will there be an NBA Finals game number 7? Did you catch Klay Thompson being asked about Kevin Durant's injury and trying to say that, plenty of athletes in all different sports have experienced injuries. Did you see this?
Yeah.
So he names Muhammad Ali. He names a few basketball players. He goes in baseball, like Wayne Gretzky.
Yeah, of course.
Throughout Wayne Gretzky as a baseball player. The weird thing about this, do you know who Klay Thompson's brother is?
Trace Thompson?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A Major League Baseball player.
Uh-huh.
Maybe not at the moment, but a Major League Baseball player. You think that makes things a little awkward at the Thanksgiving dinner table?
Do you even care about me or what I do?
Is it Klay? Even important to you? Although his Major League statistics, 206, 22. He has 22 career home runs. That's 22 more than I have. He's a Major League Baseball player, and his own brother can't name a single baseball player.
I think even more alarming than the fact that he can't name a baseball player, if you're going to get somebody wrong, if you're going to put somebody in the wrong sport, Wayne Gretzky is on the short list of guys you should not be doing that to.
Now, I think
Babe Ruth playing football. Are you going to say Babe Ruth was a football player?
From the way it sounded, maybe he can make the argument that he was moving on from baseball and then naming a hockey player.
Okay.
But the fact is he didn't know a single baseball player. Well, Anthony Davis to Los Angeles.
I still think that for a number of reasons, New Orleans is going to do whatever it can to trade Anthony Davis to somebody other than the Lakers. And I think I got caught up trying to talk about the Celtics yesterday, and I think Brad Botkin just did too, because I still believe that the Celtics, if they want to commit to Anthony Davis and making that deal, the Celtics can offer a better package, but even if they were to offer an equal package, they're going to get the benefit of the doubt because New Orleans would rather trade him to the Eastern Conference. And so if the Celtics are players in this, as Brad said, I think this is the Celtics deal to be made. But if Kyrie goes, that changes the entire course of that franchise. And so there's a number of things. Is KD going to opt in or is he going to go? Is Kyrie going to stay or go? This is going to be a wild offseason in the NBA as usual, but it seems much more difficult to project right now because you throw Kawhi in there. Is Kawhi going to stay or go? The major players in this free agency offseason, we don't even know what they're doing. We don't know if they're going for sure. And it's hard to even talk about other than to say it's just going to be nuts.
309-366-1600. The Kellen Winslow story is scary.
Dude, I am sitting here reading a story about Kellen Winslow right now, and I was going to close it because I don't think I should be reading it on the air. Like it's only being read in my head.
He has major issues, and he's going to go to jail for a long time. If you haven't heard about the fact that he has been convicted of sexually assaulting a 54-year-old hitchhiker, a 58-year-old homeless woman, it's just disgusting, just absolutely disgusting and scary. And some of the things that he's doing is very erratic behavior. And honestly, this feels very Aaron Hernandez-esque is what it feels like.
It's two different things. We're talking about a convicted, you know, murderer. And in fact, was it a convicted double murderer? Did he get? It was at least a convicted murderer in Aaron Hernandez. And so it sounds initially, you're like, okay, that's harsh. But if you've read any of these stories, Kellen Winslow is certainly out of his mind in a
terrifying way.
Yeah, in a sort of like sexually deviant way, the kind of characters you see on like CSI.
Criminal Minds.
Yeah. The kind of guys who you're like, yeah, they got to get that guy into jail. Like, it is extremely uncomfortable. One quote from I think I can read this without it being too graphic. A quote from, we're talking about Kellen Winslow as a guy. He could count on having an empty seat next to him on any team flight due to his ritual of watching hardcore adult videos on his portable DVD player. In public, openly.
He was actually convicted of a charge where he was doing that in the parking lot of a dollar store, I believe. So
yeah, man, it's a guy that it's a dude who doesn't understand boundaries, obviously doesn't know how to act around people, and it just.
And another example of erratic behavior coming from former NFL players. With that, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. Kyle will get you a big board update, your final of the day. And we'll head towards 7 o'clock on the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Kyle Mann filling in for Todd Brommelkamp.
This is the Xavier Report, presented by Schimberg Company.
Congratulations to the Xavier girls soccer team as they captured the Class 2A state title last Saturday in Des Moines. The Saints beat Spencer 3-0 and ADM 1-0 to reach the finals, where they knocked off Waverly Shell Rock 2-1 in overtime. Caitlin Daniels was named the all-around captain, and Brielle Bastion, Maggie Conrad, and Amanda Ross were on the team as well. The Class 3A number one rated Xavier baseball team split a twin bill with Class 4A number two rated Western Dubuque on Monday. The Saints won the first game 3-0 behind a complete game win from Bryson Bastion. Xavier is now 13-2 and will host Washington in a doubleheader tomorrow. The Xavier softball team swept Iowa City West on Tuesday night 14-0 and 9-2 to move to 12-6 on the campaign. The Saints host Cedar Falls tonight.
The Xavier Report is brought to you by Schimberg Company. Family owned and serving the Cedar Rapids community since 1918. Schimberg Company, proudly supporting the Saints.
Twins and the Mariners, second game of this three-game series. Jose Berríos on the mound for the Twins, taking his ninth win. And the Mariners using an opener in Gerson Bautista to begin the game. And then one-time Twin Tommy Malone followed. And Berríos was in a lot of trouble early in this game, but worked out of it. And the Twins were down only 1-0 in this ballgame until they rallied finally off Malone, who pitched really well against his former team on a Marwin Gonzalez homer in the seventh inning, and the game was tied 1-1. But then the Mariners broke things open the first time with a five-run eighth inning, a rough go for the bullpen. Trevor May gave up two runs. Blake Parker gave up three. And the Twins were down 6-1. And a lot of people at Target Field, to be honest, they left, but it's too bad they did because the Twins rallied themselves. They scored three in the eighth, a home run from Kepler, RBIs from Garver and Gonzalez. It was a 6-4 game entering the ninth inning. Ryan Eads, the rookie, did great out of the bullpen. No runs in the eighth, no runs in the ninth, and then the Twins rallied in the ninth inning. A Miguel Sano leadoff single got it going, and then Byron Buxton hit a long game-tying two-run homer, and the game was tied 6-6 and still nobody out. But then Kepler grounded out, Polanco grounded out, as did Nelson Cruz, so we played on at Target Field. Tyler Duffy came in, allowed a leadoff double to a good player, fast player in D. Gordon, and then a walk to Shed Long set things in motion. And after that, some very sloppy defense. Mitch Garver dropped a ball at the plate, a chance to tag out D. Gordon for the second out, but he dropped it, and the Mariners had a 7-6 lead. After Duffy, though, struck out Kyle Seager, the Twins were down by only one run, Encarnacion batting, and the Twins were down by one until this happened. And the 0-2 pitch, ground ball left side, Sano bobbles it, picks it up, and throws to first, wide of the bag. One run scores, another run will score, and the Mariners once again have a three-run lead. It's 9-6. Two different errors were charged to Miguel Sano on that play. One on the fielding miscue, the second on the poor throw. The Twins committed three errors in that 10th inning alone. They committed five in the game, period, and that would come back to hurt as the Mariners did win the game 9-6 in 10 innings. The Twins with six runs, 11 hits, but again, five errors in the ball game. They did hit a couple of home runs. Buxton, his ninth. Gonzalez, his eighth. But a rough go for the bullpen. May struggled. Parker struggled. Ryan Eats pitched well. Tyler Duffy gave up three runs, all unearned, and he took the loss. Twins are now 44-22. The Indians also lost their game, so the Twins maintain a 10.5 game lead over the Tribe in the American League Central. Quick turnaround. These two teams play a day game at 12:10 on Thursday with Michael Pineda on the mound for the Twins in that ball game. The final in 10 in a strange game. Mariners 9, Twins 6 in 10. From Target Field, Corey Provis on your home for Twins baseball.
We've all heard the joke, why do they call it golf? The answer? All the other four-letter words were taken. Hi, Dave Austed here. We hear those words when golfers airmail the green or duck hook the ball into the water. It could be a swing thing, or it could be your clubs aren't fit for your size, swing, and ability. Custom fitting isn't just for the pros. In fact, custom fitting golf clubs will actually benefit the amateur golfer more. So take some advice from Austed's, a Golf Digest Top 100 fitter, and book an appointment to get fit today. Play better, have fun, and shop Austed's.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were already creating our now classic beers. At Third Base Brewery, we've been refining our brews for over 20 years with perfection in every pour. And our All Your Favorites with a Few Surprises menu is just as tempting. That's why people always come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in, Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and Sea Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
Good losers gamble to have fun. They know losing is part of the game. In fact, good losers plan on it. And they never lose more than they can afford. Good losers know when to stop. If you're a good loser, you sleep no problem. But if you can't sleep, if your losses hurt too much, we can help. Call 1-800-BETS-OFF or visit 1-800-BETS-OFF.org and find out once and for all, are you a good loser? Brought to you by the Iowa Department of Public Health.
It's hard to get ahead when you start out behind. In school debt, looking for a job in a crowded market. Here's a smarter option. There's a place that will pay you to learn, for real. You get on-the-job training with classroom instruction and get paid and receive benefits the entire time. The apprenticeship program with Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 is like getting paid to go to school and start a solid career. Find out all about this great way to get ahead in life at smart263.org. Smart263.org.
The Los Angeles Dodgers and the Chicago Cubs. Live from Dodgers Stadium this weekend.
Saturday night starting at 7 o'clock here on the Gym. 1600 AM, 106.3 FM, KGYM.
6:30, just about 20 minutes to play with here in the KGYM studio. The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Kyle Mann filling in for Todd Brommelkamp. Jackson Parker, our producer, on the other side of the glass. I want to thank Rob Raines of STL Sports Page for joining us at 4:30. And most recently, Brad Botkin of CBS Sports previewing what you're going to hear after the conclusion of this show on all three KGYM frequencies, Game 6 of the NBA Finals between the Toronto Raptors and the Golden State Warriors. We just had Woodja a moment ago. Kyle is very convinced that the Cleveland Browns are the next team that is going to, the next tortured franchise to win a championship. If you missed any of our discussion, you can go to kgymradio.com following the conclusion of the show and find the entire podcast. You also have time to vote in our poll question for the next half hour or so. Will there be a game seven in the NBA Finals? Very simple. Yes or no. Before we move on any further, Kyle, for the final time today, is going to give you a big board update brought to you by Alexander Lumber. They're opening up a brand new facility very shortly, but for now, find Alexander Lumber in their temporary location at 2802 Independence Drive. If you're planning a home remodel or upgrading the windows in your home, check out the all-new Alexander Lumber window line.
It wasn't all that long ago that the Dallas Wings drafted Iowa living legend Megan Gustafson in the second round of the WNBA draft and then cut her right before the season started. Well, you're never gonna guess who came crawling back to re-sign the reigning National Player of the Year after starting the season 0-4. Gustafson, who was top three in the nation in scoring, field goal percentage, and rebounding, could be active as soon as Sunday for a team that's last in scoring, second to last in field goal percentage, and fifth worst in rebounding, so she should fit right in. The Iowa football team added a player to its class of 2020 yesterday evening, securing a commitment from three-star offensive lineman Mason Richmond out of Kansas. He's 6'6" and 250 pounds entering his senior year and also held offers from Air Force, Akron, and Kansas. 11 members in, the class is ranked by 24/7 as the 22nd ranked in the country and 5th in the Big Ten. The Colonels are four games out of a wild card spot with only five games remaining in the first half, so it's going to be difficult but not impossible, and they've been doing about as much as they can down the stretch. Having won seven of their last eight, they're 9-3 in the month of June and going for a sweep of Wisconsin. That game's getting started right about now here in Cedar Rapids. We had the Blues winning their first Stanley Cup in franchise history last night, and we could have the Toronto Raptors doing much the same tonight in Game 6 of the NBA Finals. It's not going to be easy, though, against an inspired Golden State team in Oakland, so you will not want to miss it on all three KGYM frequencies. We're going to pick up coverage as soon as we get off the air. Tip-off is set for 8 o'clock.
I did a little investigating, Kyle.
Oh.
I went on Twitter, and
okay,
I wanted to see how many followers the Dallas Wings have and how many of their most recent followers are Hawkeye fans. And let's just say, unscientifically, a crap load. You remember the story that they lost, yeah, what, 500 followers?
It was more. It was more than that. I'm trying to dig it up.
It was like it may have been close to 1,000 followers that they lost the day that they released Megan Gustafson. Well, let's just say that some of those followers are back, and I think the Dallas Wings are getting the picture of just how much the fan base embraced Megan Gustafson.
Yeah, and it's so, what's interesting to me about the whole Megan Gustafson situation is that we thought it was weird. Here in Iowa, in Eastern Iowa, we're familiar with her. We know how dominant she was, and you know, she's the greatest, you know, pound for pound, she's the greatest basketball player that's played at Iowa. There's an easy argument to be made. And so she goes to the pros and can't keep on the roster until the season starts. We thought that was weird here in Iowa. But what's interesting to me is that it was also eye-opening and started a discussion around the WNBA itself and the people who follow that league and care about that league and are wondering, how do we grow this? And you know, what's wrong? And so it was viewed as a mistake, not just because, you know, maybe, you know, Gustafson is a proven decent player in college. You want to at least give her a chance. And so aside from that, it was alarming to people around the WNBA in the sense that how are you supposed to grow this league when you've got a profile as large as Megan Gustafson? You can bring in a fan base as large as the one following her from Iowa, and you just don't value that. You don't keep that around. And so I think it's interesting to see them bring her back. You know, like I went over on the big board, they could very much use her on the floor, but I think this is a welcome move around the league from just a growth standpoint.
Adam Schefter dropping a report just a second ago. It's not a big report, so don't get too excited, but your Chicago Bears have reached an agreement with third round pick David Montgomery. He has officially signed with the Chicago Bears. And this just begs the question, How high are you going to draft him in your fantasy leagues, folks? 319-366-16. I'm tempted to draft him in like the fourth round.
Yeah, I'm even thinking
maybe late third.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. Depending how things shake up, depending what picks you have, I'm not saying that David Montgomery is Todd Gurley or anything like that, but you're looking at some serious volume right there. You're talking about goal line touches. He's going to catch a few passes per game. David Montgomery is going to be a viable, I would even go so far as to say better than average fantasy contributor as a rookie.
I see the type of year that Kareem Hunt had in his rookie season, and I ask why not? Why can David Montgomery not do something similar? Where he's catching passes, he's getting 20 plus carries a game. I think the sky's the limit for this kid because he's a good player. Yeah, there were some questions about his breakaway speed and this and that. It naturally comes with that position, and maybe that position, obviously that position, I should say, is being devalued in today's NFL. But that scheme fit in Matt Nagy's offense and the way that we saw the shakiness of Mitchell Trubisky last year, where he's good, he's bad, but he always has that check down option. He loves that check down option. He loves having Tariq Cohen, having a bell cow running back in that offense with some versatility. I think he's going to have a monster rookie year.
And that's really David Montgomery, in simple terms, checks at least two boxes. And it, like you just said, he is the bell cow. He can be out there on first and second down, you know, fight out there on a third and short. He can handle all that stuff. But you take Tariq Cohen, for example, when he's on the field, you know, you can be pretty sure it is substantially more likely to be a pass play. And if he's not, you know, streaking down the field, you can just keep your eye on him and check, make sure he's not going to be checked down to. Whereas that wasn't really as much of a concern with Jordan Howard. Whereas David Montgomery, he is your bell cow, but when you bring him onto the field, you're not limiting him. It's basically, you said he's got versatility. You never know what exactly the Bears might be doing based on what back they have in the backfield.
The Kyrie Irving stuff is getting very, very interesting. There was that report that came out that he will be signing with the Brooklyn Nets. We'll keep track of that, but I just go back and say, is this good for the NBA that they're getting this type of discussion around the NBA Finals, or is the fact that are the NBA Finals not enough of a draw to sort of outweigh the fact that the trade speculation, the free agency speculation is always ongoing?
I don't necessarily think it's I don't know if there's really anything to be drawn from it. It's just kind of the way the timing works out, you know. I don't think anybody out there is going to say that Kyrie Irving maybe going to Brooklyn is more important or even more interesting than a potentially, you know, NBA Finals conclusion tonight. Nobody's going to say that's more interesting. But at the same time, just because that game's happening tonight, nobody's going to tell you they don't care about Kyrie, or at least basketball fans aren't going to tell you they don't care about the Kyrie Irving news. It's just the way that the timing works out, and that's why I personally love the NBA this time of year, because there's just so much going on, and once these games are over, the news doesn't stop. I know it bothers a lot of people, and free agency discussion and trade speculation can get a little bit, you know, tiring to some people. I love it.
Yeah, but well, that's not. I'm not worried about some people. I'm talking about NBA fans. Do they love within the NBA with the people that love that league and are very passionate about it? Are they overwhelmingly okay with the constant speculation? Is that what sort of drives this league? It's a social media millennial driven league. Is that what drives this league?
I think the answer might be yeah. It's just dialogue in general, and to call this a social media driven sport, at least
it sounds ridiculous, but that's exactly what it is, right?
Especially comparatively speaking, you know, you don't get you don't get the exposure from definitely not baseball. You don't really get it in football. Basketball, you kind of feel like you get looped in on the drama and like you're kind of part of it, or at least, you know, it feels more like gossip than a report from Schefter. You know, there's just it's more.
It's all gossip.
It feels like more real life drama than much more than the other sports.
That's why people love drama.
They do love drama.
What we need to do right now, we need to take our final break of the day. We'll come back. We'll get you ready for a Friday edition of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Myself and Kyle Mann will be in studio. Jackson Parker, thank you to him for helping us out. As Todd takes some time off work, we will take a break. We'll come back, wrap things up, get you ready for a Friday edition of the show.
When you create some of the world's best windows and doors, you won't let just anyone sell them. You want window and door experts. That's why Marvin Windows and Doors are only sold at local, trusted, independent dealers, not big box stores. Marvin never compromises on quality, offering unparalleled value, energy efficiency, and expert craftsmanship.
At Alexander Lumber, we're proud to be a Marvin dealer. Visit us at 2802 Independence Road or at our Answers by Alexander showroom at 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
Your first place Minnesota Twins are on display at Target Field.
Got him! Ball game over, and the Twins win.
Eddie Rosario providing a flair for the dramatic.
Eddie Rosario with a ninth inning three-run homer.
With a new hero every night.
And Gonzalez hits it high in the air down the right field line, and it is gone!
Go crazy on June 14th for Prince Night as the first 10,000 fans receive a limited edition Purple Prince Twins jersey. Get your tickets at twinsbaseball.com/prince.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
The great thing about facts, they're proven. Like the fact that crude oil contains impurities. Or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities. And the fact that Pennzoil is the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Available at Pep Boys.
100 years of hard work can take you far, and no one knows that better than Goodyear. In 1918, we started the Akron Wingfoots basketball team, laced up, and took to the court. And we've been outperforming the rest ever since. Goodyear proudly celebrates our 100th anniversary in basketball and our relentless dedication to being unstoppable. Goodyear, more driven.
Warriors survive elimination and force Game 6 in Oakland.
Coverage begins tonight at 7 o'clock here on the Gym, KGYM.
I kind of agree with Craig on the text line. We're talking about the NBA. He wants to know, nonstop drama. I can't stand the offseason. I hate drama.
Huh.
I'm not a big fan either. Like, I don't want drama in my life, and things that unnecessarily add that. I know that there's this sort of pull to have it in your life. There's, for some people, they enjoy it actively. I've never understood that. I'm not a huge fan of it.
Well, it's not actual drama that affects your life at all.
Yeah, but I feel like...
Isn't it interesting? Don't you find value in just the entertainment value of it? It's interesting. You wake up, you have no news to read, or you wake up and you have some news to read.
Okay.
That's my thing. I don't love it.
It just, when it bogs me down, it's like, oh yeah, another and more gossip.
Okay, well, even I can draw a line in the sand because
it's like watching The Bachelor.
There's been a lot of discussion the last month or so for some reason whether or not LeBron was going to be traded. Like, I'm not into that. Like, that's just stupid. That's a waste of time. But things that are like legitimate, I'm not into drama or speculation just for the sake of drama and speculation. It's just that when it comes about, I can find the intrigue in it.
I'm so excited for college football returning. I know it's only June the 13th.
2 weeks away or so?
But we're a couple of weeks away from starting our Big Ten countdown to kickoff where we get to talk nonstop Rutgers football.
Oh, and that is so much better.
Get yourself ready for the passion, the pageantry that is Rutgers football.
Yep. I feel drama-free, by the way.
I feel so bad for Chris Ash. That football program is so bad. But we get to talk about it. We get one Big Ten team per day up until we go to Chicago for Big Ten Media Day. So that'll be exciting, and football is right around the corner. But for now, we have basketball, and will we have another game? I know I've asked you for this prediction. Have you changed your mind in the past hour and 48 minutes?
I don't really think so. In fact, I took Brad Bodkin, his spot with us, I thought, he seems very much on the same page as us, where you know, there is something. You look at Golden State and you realize that, you know, I really loved the metaphor he used, where it's like they're fouling off a 100-mile-an-hour yeah. fastball. They're a really good hitter. They're right there in the box. You know they're dangerous, but at the same time, you can just tell it's not their day. It's not a good at bat. They might foul off a pitch, but it's only a matter of time till they strike out. And that's kind of very much where I'm at, where, like, you know, like, they're at home. You know, they want to do it for Kevin Durant. The fans are going to be fired up. That's all good and all, but at the end of the day, like Brad said, like we touched on before Brad even joined us, the Raptors are a better team, man. And I just don't know if the Raptors let them off the hook another time.
I mean, they counterpunched as much as they possibly could in that game. They won that game by one. Can they go out once again for 48 minutes and try? And they got to do it again. Then they have to do it again if they do it tonight. It just seems, I as a person that was saying Raptors fans should be nervous. They absolutely should be nervous because these are the champs. This is a team, whether you like it or not, is battle-tested and resilient and keeps fighting. And the Kevon Looney stuff. Did you see him the other night?
Yeah.
I thought they were going to have to call an ambulance. It looked like he could not breathe.
You're right. And it is just, it's crazy to think about because, you know, Kevin Durant gets all the headlines with his injury. But, like, you guys, Kevon Looney is struggling to breathe. Klay Thompson, you know, his lower half is not good. He's having trouble running. You know, you run
Boogie
through.
Boogie Cousins is having trouble running and jumping.
Yeah, you run through the list of, you know, you've got the big guy off the floor. So many of these guys on the floor are just, they have to be there. You can, just when Brad was outlining it, you can hear the desperation that the Warriors feel right now. When you listen to other people, just explain it. These, you know, the guys out there on the floor are just there because they have no other choice.
Kyle, if Toronto does win tonight, what are we going to talk about next week?
I don't know.
We are steering into, I'm not afraid to admit it. The NBA season is coming to a close. The NHL season is coming to a close. Like I said, that Big Ten countdown to kickoff cannot get here quickly enough. Trenton and Marion, two of the top five shooters of all time, period. You always have a really good chance, no question. Simple math, true. No question.
I don't know, man. And it's interesting because I say all this stuff right now about, you know, it doesn't feel like the Warriors can do it. You know, everything is in the Raptors' favor. I am feeling pretty good about that tonight. I'm pretty sure the Raptors win tonight. But if they don't, I think I'm probably going to lean Warriors in a game seven because of what we've talked about, experience. It's just one night. You've got to win one game. You've made it this far. And like Trent Marion just said, you know, in a one-game situation with shooters that good, all it takes is one.
All it took was one for the St. Louis Blues last night. They are Stanley Cup champions. Did I mention that? Have I talked about that enough?
You've honestly been surprisingly restrained since hour one.
You know what? An hour of hockey talk in this market is plenty. I know that there are hockey fans around here, but there are just as many that aren't. So I didn't want to bog down people with my interests. I just thought it was an incredible story about a team that did not give up despite being really, really bad. There's no other
really,
way to put
really bad.
Really, really bad to start the season.
These are so official terms.
It is a test in patience and will and the two things. If you have a backstop on your team, if you have a good goalie, a good catcher, a good quarterback, it helps. It certainly lifts the confidence of the rest of the team. And also, if you have a coach that can promote a style that fits his team, you also have a very good chance. So I'm excited for the parade on Saturday. I will be there. We'll have Love It or Leave It tomorrow on a Friday program. Jack Dom, the Mount Mercy head baseball coach, is going to join us for Touching All the Bases. He'll get us a little ready for the event I was supposed to go to, the College World Series taking place in Omaha. And we'll chat all things Major League Baseball with Jack Dom when he joins us at 5:25 tomorrow. If the Raptors win, we will be having a Raptors beat reporter to join us to talk about the NBA champion Toronto Raptors. Like Kyle said, I think it has a good chance of happening. We will find out. We're going to send you out to Oracle Arena on all three of our KGYM frequencies, 1600 AM, the historic main gym, 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids, and 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City. We will talk to you tomorrow. If you missed anything, our podcast is available at kgymradio.com. You have about 5 seconds to vote in our Emil's Hideaway poll question. We will talk to you tomorrow.